The Society of Animal Artists' 62nd Annual Art and the Animal Exhibition is now at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring art in various media from artists around the world. Art and the Animal at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Shasta Regional Medical Center presents Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum, now through January 29th. This highly interactive museum exhibition explores the science of the human body, great for all ages. Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
First time he was impeached, it was over a phone call with the president of Ukraine in which he allegedly threatened Ukraine with removal of military aid if Ukraine didn't come up with some sort of dirt on Hunter and Joe Biden. And There was no actual criminal charge named in the impeachment proceeding. There was a suggestion that there had been bribery or that the use of American power in order to facilitate your electoral demands and to hold up defense aid for an ally on that basis could be impeachable. And remember, President Trump was, in fact, impeached in the House before he was acquitted in the Senate on those grounds. And you will remember that the New York Times was a big backer of that impeachment effort. In fact, they put out an editorial in November of 2019 talking about why Donald Trump should be impeached. And here is what they said. They said, quote, Americans agree to give their elected officials power over them, and those officials agree to exercise that power on Americans' behalf. If the nation's leaders breach that deal by lining their own pockets and bartering their interests of their citizens, they break the trust that self-government and democracy depend upon. The testimony so far indicates it's even worse in this case. It suggests that Mr. Trump wasn't simply soliciting a bribe, but doing so to try to rig the next election. It should go without saying, representative democracy cannot work if its leaders are cheating to keep themselves in power. Okay, so again, the idea was Donald Trump had engaged in a quid pro quo with Ukraine. He had essentially threatened to remove from them the weaponry that they needed in order to stave off a possible Russian invasion, which of course didn't happen while Trump was president, happened while Biden was president, and that he was threatening them with that so that they would go and dig something up on Hunter and Joe Biden for purposes of the 2020 election. And Trump's case was, well, no, I care about rooting out corruption in Ukraine. That's really why I'm worried about all this, because Ukraine has had serious corruption issues and Burisma is a serious corruption issue. And his opponents were saying, no, that's all a bunch of crap. The reason that you're doing this is for electoral purposes. The one thing that we were all supposed to agree on, left and right, is that quid pro quos for purposes of domestic political gain are bad. Right? These are bad. These are, according to Democrats, impeachable. The only question was whether Donald Trump had actually done this or not. But certainly it was an impeachable offense to, for example, demand that an American ally do a thing for you, specifically for you, for your electoral efforts, and in return, you would give them something that American taxpayers were paying for. That would be a quid pro quo. Well, this brings us forward to today, because as it turns out, it looks very much like this administration, the Biden administration, has been participating in a quid pro quo with the Saudis. In fact, while Ukraine denied that there was a quid pro quo arrangement with Donald Trump during that impeachment proceeding. You remember this. Zelensky came out and he said, no, well, that's not how I read the phone call. The Saudis are saying, nope, there was an attempted quid pro quo here. Joe Biden was pressuring us to essentially pump oil for one additional month to get him past the midterm elections, to keep those oil prices a little bit lower than they otherwise would be. And then he would presumably step off the gas himself, figuratively speaking, with regard to his persecution of the Saudi government, his crackdown on the Saudi government. According to the UK Daily Mail, the Biden administration weighed in with Saudi Arabia and other OPEC Plus members, urging them to hold off for another month before announcing oil production cuts, a move that would have delayed the stunning announcement until after the midterm election. The administration framed its objection to the production cuts as boosting Russian President Vladimir Putin's brutal war in Ukraine, but according to the Wall Street Journal, the Saudis rejected the admonitions, viewing the administration's objections as a, quote, political gambit by the Biden administration to avoid bad news. So you'll notice that the Biden administration did not ask for, say, a six-month increase in oil pumping. They did not ask for flexibility over the course of the coming year with regard to pumping that oil in order to quash Russian efforts in Ukraine. No, they asked for a one-month pause, 1 month, which would, kind of suspicious, brings you just past the election. And in fact, the Saudis have now put out an actual statement confirming, effectively speaking, that Joe Biden was pressuring them for electoral purposes. Their statement says, quote, "The kingdom affirms that the outcomes of the OPEC Plus meetings are adopted through consensus among member states. They are not based on the unilateral decision by a single country. These outcomes are based purely on economic considerations that take into account maintaining balance of supply and demand in the oil markets, as well as aim to limit volatility that does not serve the interests of consumers and producers, as has always been the case within OPEC Plus." The government of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia affirms that any attempts to distort the facts about the kingdom's position regarding the crisis in Ukraine are unfortunate, and will not change the kingdom's principal position, including its vote to support UN resolutions regarding the Russian-Ukraine crisis, based on the kingdom's position on the importance for all countries to adhere to the UN Charter, principles of international law, and the kingdom's rejection of any infringement on the sovereignty of territories of countries over their territories. In other words, Saudi saying, listen, we voted with you guys against what Russia is doing in Ukraine. So trying to say that we are sort of in the Russian pocket is just not true. We're doing this for our own economic reasons. But this is fascinating. Quote, "The government of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia would also like to clarify that based on its belief in the importance of dialogue and exchange of views with its allies and partners outside the OPEC Plus group regarding the situation in the oil markets, the government of the kingdom clarified through its continuous consultation with the U.S. administration that all economic analyses indicate that postponing the OPEC Plus decision for a month, according to what has been suggested, would have had negative economic consequences." And so that is them very not subtly saying, you asked us for a 1 month delay. And we notice, and that is not good economics, and it's not good for our business. But the most important thing is that Saudi is confirming that Biden didn't ask for an indefinite delay on production cuts. He asked for a one-month delay on production cuts. And as soon as it became clear that the Saudis were not actually going to do that, the White House then made clear that they were going to reevaluate ties with the Saudis. In other words, it sounds very much like they are threatening an American ally with everything on the table, up to and including the possible removal of military aid in the face of Iranian predations via Yemen and the Houthis, or Iran directly, that they're threatening that in order to get Saudi to jack up its oil supply just before an election. That's what it sounds very much like. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
According to the Washington Post, President Biden is kicking off a process of reevaluating and potentially altering the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia following the announcement by a Saudi-led coalition it would slash oil production, the White House said on Tuesday. Officials said Tuesday Biden is doing so. They offered no details on how the relationship might shift or what policies the president is considering. White House spokesman John Kirby told reporters, quote, "In light of recent developments and the OPEC Plus decision about oil production, the president believes we should review the bilateral relationship with Saudi Arabia and take a look to see if that relationship is where it needs to be." He said this is something the president's been thinking about, certainly in light of OPEC's decision. I mean, they're saying the quiet part out loud. They're not saying this is the culmination of a gradual breakdown in our relations with the Saudi government. They're saying, listen, if you guys had pumped the oil, we would not be reevaluating our decision. You didn't pump the oil, and so we're reevaluating our decision. And what were we asking for? A one-month delay. I mean, they're saying the quid pro quo out loud. It's unbelievable, actually. Now, there's nobody in the media who sees this apparently as a serious problem. It's totally okay when Democrats do this kind of stuff. It is totally okay when Barack Obama says to Dmitry Medvedev in advance of the 2012 election that he just needs some flexibility from Vladimir Putin, and then he will be able to get past the election, and it'll give him the flexibility he needs to treat with Russia in a more conciliatory fashion. Right? That was totally fine. That's totally fine. And apparently it is totally fine when Joe Biden openly, like in front of your face, asks a foreign ally to do a thing for him for electoral purposes. Because again, a one-month delay in oil cuts does not really benefit the American public, especially if that is going to be balanced out by more significant oil cuts, which are going to raise the price even further. So he's doing this for electoral purposes. And he's saying he's doing this basically for electoral purposes with that timeline. And then he's saying, well, maybe we'll remove the military aid. I mean, Joe Biden was literally asked yesterday about the possibility of removing military aid, and he just sort of didn't answer the question. Karine Jean-Pierre, the wildly untalented White House press secretary, she was out there saying, sure, there are going to be consequences for Saudi not doing what we want them to do.
I can't speak for their intentions. That is, or their timing. That's not something that I can speak of. But what I can speak about is their decision. And in the time of global challenges, economic challenges that we're seeing, this was a decision that was a mistake. And we can speak to that because it was actually something that we saw them do. And it's going to hurt, again, economies, across the globe that are middle, lower income. And so this is a bad decision. And so they will have consequences, as the president said last night. And it was, again, a mistake.
It was a mistake, And they're trying to, spin this a little bit like, it's really for those low income. I noticed something about those low income countries, those third world countries. They're disproportionately siding with Saudi Arabia and Russia. You know what we could be doing? We could be providing them the energy supplies that they need, considering that America is, in fact, the world's number one producer of energy. But we're not doing that. Instead, we're ripping on the Saudis, and we're begging the Saudis, 1 month in advance of an election, to make sure that the oil prices are just low enough so maybe the Democrats aren't hurt too bad. Bloomberg's Jonathan Farrow actually asked the White House budget director, Brian Deese, about whether the White House pressured OPEC Plus to delay cuts for purposes of the election. And Deese essentially attempted to avoid the question.
Did you ask the Saudis to delay that decision for a month? Are they telling the truth or not?
Look, I'm not going to get on air and disclose private conversations that members of our
private
administration
have. The Saudis have shared it with us. You've got the opportunity to say it's true or not. Is it true or not?
What I will say clearly is that the communications that we've had with OPEC members and continuing have been based on our assessment of the economic circumstances of supply and demand in global oil markets.
Okay, that's an amazing statement, right? He's just refusing to say outright whether they asked for a one-month delay or there's a six-month delay. Now we know. He's not rebutting the Saudis. He's not calling them liars. So does that sound like a quid pro quo? Does that sound like the president of the United States is effectively demanding that the Saudis do a thing he wants for electoral purposes, and he's going to threaten them with everything up to and including the removal of military aid in the most volatile region on planet Earth if he doesn't get what he wants? It's absolutely astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. Okay, but meanwhile, the media are focused in like a laser beam. Not on that, a thing that is happening in real time right now with the president of the United States threatening to effectually increase conflict in the Middle East. Okay, the fact is that if this administration had any level of either understanding or decency with regard to the Middle East, what they would be doing is attempting to facilitate the addition of Saudi Arabia to the Abraham Accords. They were handed a legacy in the Middle East. We were sitting in Jerusalem right now, and one of the amazing things that has happened in the Middle East over the course of the last 4 years has been the Abraham Accords, which has brought to the peace table Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Sudan, Morocco, a bunch of countries. And Saudi is perfectly willing to enter those Abraham Accords. All they require are a couple of fairly minor American guarantees. The Biden administration has been not only completely unwilling to do that, they've been fostering negotiations with Saudi Arabia's mortal enemies over in Iran, the Ayatollahs, who are busily cracking the skulls of women who refuse to wear hijab. They're negotiating with the Iranians. The Iranians, meanwhile, are spreading their terror tentacles through Syria, through Iraq, to Lebanon, to the Gaza Strip. And then this administration is threatening the Saudis. This administration is actually making relations worse with the Saudis at a time when we could be building a burgeoning American alliance, a pro-America alliance in this region. This administration is pursuing precisely the opposite goal and then attempting to blackmail Saudi Arabia for Joe Biden's political benefit. But apparently we're not we should pay no attention to that. That is inoffensive. It's totally not a problem that the president of the United States is effectually engaging in a quid pro quo with Saudi Arabia, an American ally, again, facing down some of the worst people on earth over in Iran. This does not mean that the Saudis are wonderful humans. It does not mean that the Saudis don't engage in human rights predations. They do. So does pretty much every American ally that we deal with outside of the West. But it is fairly astonishing the media just don't care about this. What do they care about? They care about January 6th. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, profiling, surveillance, data harvesting. There are lots of things not to like about the big tech giants. But what can you actually do about it? We don't all have $44 billion to go buy Twitter. But the good news is you don't need to be a billionaire to take a stand. For less than $7 per month, you can join me and fight back against big tech by using ExpressVPN. How do you think those big tech companies like Twitter make all their cash? Well, the answer is they track everything you do online. Your searches, your video history, all of it, and then they sell your personal data. ExpressVPN helps you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, a unique identifier that every device has that allows big tech to match your activity back to you. That's why I use ExpressVPN on all my devices, to make it much more difficult for them to exploit my data for their own profits. The best part is how easy it is to use the ExpressVPN app. I just tap one button on my phone or computer to turn it on. That's all it takes to keep people out of my business. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro right now. Get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. I've been using it for years. It keeps me safe online. It makes sure that nobody can see what I'm doing online because, again, that's just my business. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to get started.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the January 6th committee held a fireworks-laden hearing. We'll get into all the details. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, while Joe Biden is actually doing quid pro quo with Saudi Arabia for his own political benefit, the January 6th committee is focused in like a laser beam on stuff that happened 2 years ago. So the January 6th committee held its last hearing on Thursday, is the last one before the election, and they supposedly had a bunch of revelations to present. They declared themselves victorious, by the way. Like Benny Thompson, who's a Democrat, member of the committee from Maryland, he came out and he's like, we proved our case. We proved that Donald Trump facilitated and made happen the riots of January 6th in an attempt to overthrow democracy. You didn't prove that. I'm sorry, you didn't. Okay, the thing that you did prove, and that we already knew because we saw it in real time, so you actually didn't have to prove it, is that Donald Trump was attempting to put pressure on election officials in places like Georgia and Arizona in order to overturn the results of those elections and not have the electors certified in those states. Like, we knew that. He was publicly doing it. It was terrible. It was bad. But did Donald Trump actively tell people go riot at the Capitol? Was he organizing behind the scenes with the Proud Boys to actually riot at the Capitol, which is the charge they are making of him? I mean, they haven't proved that. So what exactly were the takeaways from the last hearing? Well, the Washington Post has a bit of a rundown. The big takeaways, of course, are that Donald Trump did not properly respond to the riots on January 6th, which I think, again, we knew because we have a clock. Right? Again, like, there's a thing called a clock, and there's a thing called Twitter, and we had availability of both during January 6th. Donald Trump did not respond with alacrity to what was happening in the Capitol building. Yes, true. And so what were the big revelations yesterday? Well, they brought forth some tape of Nancy Pelosi being Nancy Pelosi. So Nancy Pelosi apparently was on camera and she was watching Donald Trump speak. And then she was saying things like she was going to punch Trump if Trump was going to come to the actual Capitol building with the crowd or whatever. I have serious doubts that an 80-year-old woman was about to start jumping on Donald Trump and pummeling her with her bony fists. But nonetheless, we are supposed to pretend that this is an act of great heroism by Nancy Pelosi. Fine, whatever. Here was Nancy Pelosi.
Secret Service said they have dissuaded him from coming to Capitol Hill. They told him they don't have the resources to protect him here. So at the moment, he is not coming, but that could change.
If he comes, I'm going to punch him out.
I would pay to see that. I've
been waiting for this, for trespassing on the Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
Okay, I've been waiting for this. Well, if she had really been waiting for this, then maybe she should have staffed up security at the Capitol building, considering she's the Speaker of the House. And then there was tape that was revealed of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi begging the Attorney General to get Trump to tweet to tell people to leave the Capitol building. So, again, we knew all of this. I mean, this is not big revelations happening right here. It just underscores bad stuff that we knew Trump was already doing.
They're breaking windows and going in obviously ransacking our offices and all the rest of that. That's nothing. The concern we have about personal harm, personal safety it just transcends everything. But the fact is, on any given day, they're breaking the law in many different ways. And quite frankly, much of it at the instigation of the President of the United States. And now, if he could at least somebody.
Yeah, why don't you get the President to tell them to leave the Capitol, Mr. Attorney General, in your law enforcement responsibility? A public statement they should all leave.
Okay, and Trump eventually did put out a video, obviously, telling everybody to leave. And what is the purpose of this? Well, it's color commentary on stuff that we already knew. But again, it's designed to sort of refocus the country from the fact that we have a disastrous economic report, which we'll talk about in just a second, and a failing foreign policy and a president who doesn't appear to be coherent. And so let's focus in on Donald Trump. So what did the January 6th committee actually show yesterday? Not particularly much. They showed that Trump prematurely declared victory and that he intended to do so. That, of course, we knew already. Again, a lot of this we know already. There was a suggestion by former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson that Trump already knew that he lost and that he was doing this despite the fact that he lost. According to Hutchinson, Trump said something like, quote, I don't want people to know we lost. This is embarrassing. Figure it out. We need to figure it out. I don't want people to know that we lost. Hutchinson said that this was not a verbatim quote. But she said twice Trump had spoken in terms that indicated he knew he lost. Well, unless you have, you know, some actual verbatim quote, again, it's going to be very hard to prove all of that. Also, as I've said before, Donald Trump has a unique capacity to talk himself into positions, as we know. He actually believes a lot of things that are quite false, and that's because he's talked himself into them. They supposedly provided evidence that Trump might have approved of the rioters, but again, not really any hard evidence. When they say might, again, no evidence really provided. The committee leans in on the Secret Service, according to the Washington Post. Apparently, there are a lot of agents expressing concerns about the January 6th rally more than a week before, which again raises questions as to why security wasn't up to the actual Capitol building. Already coming up, the January 6th committee has voted to subpoena Donald Trump. What exactly does that mean? Not all that much, actually. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's the Ramsey Show. Talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Spooktacular savings going on now at Maco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, where they offer free estimates and are about 30% less than the national average. Maco also works with most major insurance companies. So whether it's a dent or a ding, a minor fender bender, or a full body repair and paint job, Maco has you covered. Uh-oh, better call Maco. Maco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
9.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the January 6th committee, they finally unleashed the full power of this fully armed and operational battle station. They're subpoenaing Donald Trump. Does that mean anything? Not so much. Which is really more a dramatic photo op than anything else. Because as we'll discuss in just a moment, there really is no legal basis for compelling the President of the United States to testify in front of Congress. There have been a bunch of presidents and ex-presidents who have been subpoenaed in the past. Some testified, some not. It was really more just a dramatic move in advance of the fact that the Democrats are about to lose the House of Representatives and all this comes to a screeching halt in approximately 3 weeks here. And so here was the January 6th committee last night voting to subpoena Donald Trump.
If there's no further debate, the question is on agreeing to the resolution. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed is no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The clerk will report the vote.
Mr. Chairman, on this vote, there are 9 ayes and 0 noes.
The resolution is agreed to.
And shockingly, a committee that has no Republicans on it other than Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, shockingly, I can't believe it, they voted in favor of subpoena. So what exactly does the subpoena mean? It means nothing. It means literally nothing because there's no way for them to truly enforce it, and every legal expert understands there's no way for them to truly enforce it. Now, Steve Bannon was convicted of failing to perform in front of a congressional subpoena. He spent zero time in jail. Donald Trump is not going to jail over this. The attempt, well, they subpoenaed him. They're going to throw, no, they are not going to do that. According to the Washington Post, not according to me. They point out that the committee voted unanimously to subpoena Trump to submit documents and provide testimony concerning the events of January 6th. Trump can refuse to comply with the subpoena. Lawmakers could ask the DOJ to charge Trump with contempt of Congress. Stephen Gillers, a professor of constitutional law at NYU, noted federal prosecutors may refuse such a request. Alternatively, the department could add contempt to later charges if, in fact, they indict him for other stuff. They could add it on top of, for example, document mishandling, which we'll get to in just 1 second. Contempt of Congress, as the Washington Post points out, is a rarely used criminal statute meant to ensure people comply with congressional subpoenas. Bannon was convicted of contempt of Congress in July. His sentencing is scheduled for October 21st. Each of the 2 misdemeanor charges is punishable by at least 30 days and up to 1 year in jail. Nobody has been incarcerated for contempt of Congress in half a century. So, yeah, you think that they're going, like, who? Who? Like, you think Joe Biden's DOJ is going to throw Donald Trump in jail for, what, 30 days or 60 days for contempt of Congress? How exactly is that going to work? Stanley Brand, former counsel to the House of Representatives, who's represented some of the January 6th witnesses, said, quote, there's a very low probability we'll ever see that happen. How do you make a case for needing to do this when you're a legislative body, not even a grand jury, though you've been acting like one? This is one of the other points, is that Congress, typically when you have a hearing, there are only a couple of purposes for the hearing. One is a legislative purpose for the hearing, right? We are going to investigate what went wrong so we can create legislation for the future. And then there's an investigative purpose to a hearing, which is we fear that you have abused taxpayer dollars to do something, right? It's an oversight hearing. What exactly is this hearing meant to do? I've said this since the beginning. What exactly are they discovering here that they're going to do something about? Where's the supposed misuse of taxpayer dollars that they're going to clean up? What legislation are they going to pursue? The answer is none of that stuff, right? It's a grandstanding show. And listen, that's what a lot of congressional committees are. This is not unique to Democrats. There are Republicans who have run grandstanding congressional committees before. That's nothing new. But to pretend that this is some sort of law enforcement agency, it's a law enforcement body, is, of course, incredibly silly. The subpoena has pretty much no teeth. According to that NYU professor, the subpoena may be the committee's way of giving Trump a formal opportunity to respond to its work, even if it does not expect Trump to show up. Gillis said, I suspect the committee will not try to enforce the subpoena. What it is saying with the subpoena is, here's your chance. Donald Trump, yeah, sure. He's going to show up and he's going to, do battle with Benny Thompson? Very unlikely. By the way, there are a bunch of presidents who in the past have been subpoenaed, and some of them have testified. Lincoln testified voluntarily, for example, when he was subpoenaed. But a bunch of presidents have not, and ex-presidents. So in 1953, for example, former President Harry Truman refused to comply with a House subpoena after he was accused of knowingly appointing a Russian spy to a position while in office. The House Un-American Activities Committee subpoenaed Truman. He refused to comply. Instead, he gave a national broadcast denying the accusation, and the House let it go. I mean, 2 decades later, Nixon cited Truman when he refused to appear before a congressional committee investigating Watergate. His successor, Gerald Ford, of course, ended up pardoning Richard Nixon, and that ended the subpoena. Other presidents, including Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and Bill Clinton, have all been subpoenaed, not before Congress, but in civil, criminal, and military proceedings. There are a bunch of people who have testified. There are some who have not. But the bottom line here is that there's no way for them to actually compel Trump to testify here. It's all a grandstanding move. A little bit more on this in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Now, does this mean that there is no indictment on the way for Donald Trump? That seems increasingly unlikely. It seems as though the DOJ, under pressure from the January 6th committee to do something about Trump, it seems as though they are probably going to move toward an indictment of him based on the mishandling of classified materials over at Mar-a-Lago, according to the Washington Post. A Trump employee has now told federal agents about moving boxes of documents in Mar-a-Lago at the specific direction of the former president, according to people familiar with the investigation, who say that the witness account, combined with security camera footage, offers key evidence of Donald Trump's behavior as investigators sought the return of classified materials. Again, one of the things that is so irritating about this particular story is we still have no idea what exactly are the materials that Trump was hiding and why. Like, why was this really just Donald Trump being like, I really like that love letter from Kim Jong-un and I want to keep it and I don't care if it goes to the National Archives. Go get it. Bill, go pick it up. Put it in the other room. Hide under my mattress. Like, if so, is that something you're going to send the former president of the United States to jail for? And the possible nominee for president of the opposing party in 2020? Like, that's what you're going to go after him for? So you missed on January 6th. And you impeached him twice, but didn't get him convicted either time. And this is your backup? The witness description and footage described to the Washington Post offer the most direct account to date of Trump's actions and instructions leading up to the FBI's August 8th search of the Florida residence and private club. The people familiar with the investigation said agents have gathered witness accounts indicating that after Trump advisors received a subpoena in May for any classified documents remaining in Mar-a-Lago, Trump told people to move boxes to his residence at the property. That description of events was corroborated by security camera footage, which showed people moving the boxes. Trump's spokesperson, Taylor Butterwich, declined to answer detailed questions for this article. Butterwich said the Biden administration has weaponized law enforcement and fabricated a document hoax in a desperate attempt to retain political power. Every other president has been given time and deference regarding the administration of documents, as the president has ultimate authority to categorize records and what materials should be classified. Again, that seems like a specious piece of legal reasoning, but as always, several things can be true at once. Trump's irresponsibility with documents, given the Hillary Clinton standard of intent to distribute to nefarious sources, being required for actual prosecution, very difficult to get to the point where you think that Donald Trump ought to go to jail for something like this. According to the Washington Examiner, however, this is exactly the direction that the DOJ is moving. Apparently, government investigators are working to determine whether Trump committed a host of crimes, including those engaged with the destruction of government documents, mishandling of classified information, and obstruction. Trump has denied any wrongdoing, has dubiously claimed he declassified all of the records. According to former Mueller prosecutor Andrew Weissman, quote, between this and the testimony of Alex Cannon, Trump's MAL goose is cooked, as Mar-a-Lago. As I have oft said, the issue is no longer the proof, but DOJ's will. Trump's worker told FBI about moving Mar-a-Lago boxes on Trump's orders. So it looks as though, according to former Pentagon special counsel Ryan Goodman, quote, astonishing levels of evidence that would convince jurors. Witnesses have told federal investigators after subpoena for federal classified documents, Trump told people to move the boxes to his residence, corroborated by security camera footage. So there are people who are attempting to defend Trump, including former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotti. He underscored how the Trump employee, who has not been identified, reportedly changed his story across multiple interviews with federal investigators to admit that he handled sensitive material in moving the boxes at Mar-a-Lago. Mariotti also emphasized that the subpoena against Trump came in May, before Trump reportedly gave the direction to reposition the boxes. Mariotti said the employee is unlikely to be charged if he continues to cooperate. His testimony suggests Trump tried to keep documents from the DOJ. But again, if you change the story a lot, that's going to lead to some holes in the story. Where this goes, again, it seems highly likely at this point that there will be some sort of charges brought by the DOJ here. The fact that the January 6th committee basically stirred up incentive for a Trump indictment on the document matters is somewhat telling. It's it also happens to be telling, as I say before, that the double standard when it comes to document mishandling is so obvious and so clear. Hillary Clinton is allowed to wildly mishandle classified documents, according to the FBI, so long as she didn't have intent to essentially distribute them to America's enemies, even if the enemies got a hold of them because she was keeping them on the Internet. That apparently is not a prosecutable offense. What Trump did is a prosecutable offense. Meanwhile, Trump can be impeached for a quid pro quo with Ukraine when Joe Biden engages in open quid pro quo with the full view of the American public and the world public and the Saudi Arabian government effectively confirming the ask for the quid pro quo. That apparently is not any sort of serious scandal in the media or on the left. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Already coming up, the inflation stats are in and they suck. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading, where you can enjoy the comfort of your vehicle, including the air conditioning, while they remove the smoke and grime, debris, and other deposits that can build up on your vehicle and possibly damage the finish and paint. Quick and Clean Car Wash packages start at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K Care Net Race Run Walk starts at 9 a.m. Saturday, October 22nd at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. Whether you like to race or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K Care Net
race, run, walk for only $30 for the run and $25 for the walk at CareNetReading.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit pregnancy resource center right here in Reading. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus immediately following the race for participants. That's the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 22nd at 9 o'clock. Sign up online today at carenet.reading.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden promised us inflation reduction via his Inflation Reduction Act. He promised us he was going to get all this under control. Fail. Everything that is happening with regard to the January 6th committee or with regard to Joe Biden campaign, all of it is an attempt to distract from the simple fact, which is that Joe Biden's economic record is abysmal. I mean, truly abysmal. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. consumer inflation, excluding energy and food, accelerated to a new four-decade high in September, a sign that strong and broad price pressures are persisting. The Labor Department on Thursday said its so-called Consumer Price Index, which excludes volatile energy and food prices, rose 6.6% in September from a year earlier. That's the biggest increase since August of 1982. That measure increased 6.3% in August. It's actually rising faster than it rose last month. So overall, by the way, the inflation report came in at 8.2%. And when they say that it rose 6.6%, excluding energy and food, people spend a lot of money on energy and food, as it turns out. The inflation report likely keeps the Federal Reserve on track to increase interest rates by 0.75 percentage points at its meeting next month. It also raises the risk officials will delay an anticipated slowdown in the pace of rate increases after that, or signal they are likely to raise rates to even higher levels early next year than previously anticipated by policymakers and investors. Again, they're going to have to slam on the brakes because there was so much easy money that was dumped into the system. U.S. stocks tumbled in early trading before reversing to close much higher on the day. Bond prices fell, while yields, which move in the opposite direction, rose. Again, people are not willing to buy American bonds because they can see that we're going to have to pay off all of our debts using these inflated dollars. Prices rose last month for housing, medical care, airline fares, and other services, threatening to keep inflation high for the foreseeable future. Investors and policymakers follow core inflation closely as a reflection of broad underlying inflation and as a predictor of future inflation. On a monthly basis, the core CPI rose 0.6% in September. That was the same as August. It was up from 0.3% in July. Bill Adams, the chief economist at Comerica Bank, he said inflation has built up a lot of momentum over the last year. That's going to keep inflation higher than the Federal Reserve wants it for at least a couple more months, if not a couple more quarters. No, it's going to be a couple more quarters. This is not coming down in the next couple of months. Core services prices, which tend to persist once they start rising, because that obviously means increased wages and benefits, rose at a one-month annualized rate of 9.9%. Whew. So the services that you are paying for, you go to the dry cleaners or whatever, the sharpest rate since 1982 has now been seen here in terms of the increase in price. Prices for motor vehicle repair services rose 2.2% in September, month over month. That's not year over year, that's month over month. Veterinary services and daycare and preschool increased 2% last month alone. These are price shocks that are rippling through the American economy. Unsurprisingly, bond yields ended higher, lifted by the inflation data. Bond yields are the gap between the price of a bond and the par value of the bond. So what that means is fewer people are buying bonds because they have very little faith in the American government at this point. Bonds rallied with stocks later in the session, eroding some of the climb. But unlike stocks, they failed to recoup all of their price declines. Yields rose most sharply on short-term bonds, which are particularly sensitive to near-term interest rate outlook. They also climbed on longer-term treasuries, which tend to have a larger impact on the financial markets and the economy. Taken together, Thursday's moves in stocks, bonds, and currencies were difficult to understand, said Zach Griffiths, senior strategist at the research firm Credit Sites. They provided more evidence of just how volatile markets are and how difficult they are to navigate. But treasury yields did tell a coherent story, said Griffiths, with rising short-term yields driven by bets on higher rates and the less rapid increase in longer-term yields reflecting a recognition that recession risks are rising. So basically, the short-term rate, you're not going to invest in a bond that is paying you off at, say, 3% or 5% over the short term because inflation is going to outpace the actual increase you get from the bond. You're instead going to hold on to the cash just to re-enshrine inflation and make sure that it becomes a permanent feature of American life. Our cost of living adjustments that are built into Social Security came in at 8.7%. So Social Security checks are now going to be about 9% bigger than they were last year. That is the largest cost of living adjustment to benefits in four decades, according to the Social Security Administration. Now, the administration is championing this. They actually tweeted out, and the New York Times was tweeting out, well, this is going to be a really healthy boon for older Americans. Like, well, that's a really weird way of reading in permanent inflation into the economy as a good thing. According to, you know, people who are receiving Social Security checks, of course they need the extra money. The problem is that also is an inflationary pressure. It's an increasing inflationary pressure. Next year's COLA increase is likely to hasten the date of insolvency for Social Security Trust Fund, according to the Nonprofit Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, which predicts that full insolvency for Social Security is going to occur in 2034, so not all that far distant. At that time, Social Security income would be sufficient to pay for about 80% of scheduled benefits, which means radical increases in taxes or cutting in benefits or delay of old age retirement. Those are the three options that are available when Social Security goes bust. Again, you're going to see the Federal Reserve increase the interest rates more radically. They're going to have to continue escalating this thing. Mortgage rates, too, are jumping tremendously. According to MarketWatch, the rate on a popular type of home loan increased this week to its highest level in 20 years, according to data released on Thursday. The average rate on a 30-year fixed loan increased to 6.92% as of Thursday, according to the results of Freddie Mac's primary mortgage market survey. That is the highest rate since April of 2002, which means that we are about to see a tremendous cratering in the real estate market. When those mortgage rates are hitting 7%, who can afford a 7% mortgage in an economy that is this shaky? Mortgage rates have more than doubled this year as the Federal Reserve has moved to combat inflation. Sam Kader, Freddie Mac's chief economist, said, quote, we continue to see a tale of two economies in the data. Strong job and wage growth are keeping consumers' balance sheets positive, but lingering inflation, recession fears, and housing affordability are driving housing demand down precipitously. Basically, people are taking their money out of the market and they're waiting around on it because they're afraid they're going to lose their job over the course of the next couple of quarters, and many people will lose their jobs over the course of the next couple of quarters. All of this coming, all these bills coming due just before the midterm elections is precisely why Joe Biden was begging the Saudis to pump oil a month before the election. The Biden economic advisors have no strategy here. They're just going to try to whistle past the graveyard here. So you have Brian Deese, White House economic advisor, suggesting that inflation is really not about America. It's a global challenge, as though America isn't the leading factor in the global economy.
Inflation is a challenge. It's a global challenge. And I think the first and most important point is that the United States is in a better and stronger position to take this challenge head on than virtually any other country in the world. That's in no small part because of the policies that we've put in place and the strong and resilient economic recovery that we have here in the United States.
Oh, we're in a great position, are we? Because it seems like you're the ones who created the inflationary spiral with your vast bevy of spending. I thought, by the way, the Inflation Reduction Act was supposed to reduce inflation. It was like right in the name of the Inflation Reduction Act. And that is not working. D says our policies are making all the difference. To whom and how? Explain.
Prices are too high, but the message the president is delivering is that you have a president administration that's waking up every day trying to address that problem head on, and we are making progress. We are making progress on energy prices. We are making progress. We just have to stay at it. And so we have policies that are going to make a difference. We have policies that have already made a difference. We just have to stay the course.
So I have a few quibbles with that. One, I disagree that the president is waking up every day. Number two, obviously your policies are not actually moving us in the right direction. But again, who are you going to believe? Your pocketbook, your bank account, or your administration? I mean, this is the question. You have to listen to Joe Biden. You have to listen to Jared Bernstein, the economic advisor the chief advisor to President Biden on the economy. He says everything is moving in the right direction, which is weird because everything seems to be moving in the wrong direction.
I think the question is, are policymakers doing what they need to do? The president released oil from the Strategic Reserve. That contributed to almost 100-day of gas declines. I mentioned our work on the supply side, the Inflation Reduction Act, lowering medical care costs, lowering prescription drug costs, lowering the cost of clean energy. So all of these are moving in the right direction. They take time to factor into these price indices, and we'd like to see that happen a lot quicker.
No. The answer to all of this is no. And the reason the answer to all of this is no, by the way, is not purely because of Joe Biden being bad at his job, although it's largely because of Joe Biden being bad at his job. It's not purely because of Jerome Powell being bad at his job, although Jerome Powell was bad at his job, and Janet Yellen, all these people are bad at their jobs. You know, the expert class, it turns out, is not particularly expert. It has to do more with the simple fact that the West has decided they're going to blow out the spending, and they will never, never actually receive the consequences of that other than in these vast recessionary waves in which they blame the private sector. That's the real underlying problem in all of this. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasha Stevens. The 15-year-old Raleigh, North Carolina shooting suspect will be tried as an adult. Wake County District Attorney Lauren Freeman says her office has filed petitions to transfer the case to Superior Court. At least five people were killed, two others hurt, during a shooting spree in a neighborhood northeast of Raleigh. The suspect is hospitalized in critical condition following a police standoff. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he supports an investigation into potential jury misconduct in the Florida high school massacre penalty trial. The assistant state attorney says their office can't ignore reports of threatening behavior among jurors. Nicholas Cruz pled guilty to the 2018 killing of 17 people at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High. He received life in prison after one juror refused to vote for the death penalty. Former President Trump writes a letter blasting the House Democrats' January 6th panel as a witch hunt.
Mr. Trump penned a letter to Chairman Congressman Bernie Thompson of Mississippi a day after the partisan panel voted unanimously to subpoena the former president to appear for a formal deposition. Entitled Peacefully and Patriotically, the letter outlines data supporting Trump's claim that 2020 election results were skewed and underscores the fact he called on supporters to engage in peaceful protest against the vote's final certification. He calls members of the panel political hacks and thugs, the same as those behind two failed attempts to impeach him when he was in office. Bob Agner reporting.
Tyler O'Neill with the Heritage Foundation says the Biden Justice Department has a double standard with pro-life citizens.
You know, to see these places attacked and then the FBI seeming to do nothing, meanwhile going after pro-life Americans. I mean, it really reeks of what the Biden administration seems to be prioritizing now.
He tells the Salem Radio Network Biden's essentially declared all political opponents to be evil. More at townhall.com.
Everybody, Charlie Kirk here. The southern border is wide open, and we have to tell the world about it. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working over the last year to have a one-of-a-kind documentary all about the drugs, the guns, the crime, the criminals that are flowing across the southern border. Our team at Turning Point USA has been working so hard on this through amazing frontline footage that shows the Border Patrol agents, shows people crossing the border, the illegal drug trade, the economic and societal fallout that illegal immigration has on the United States. Every single state is a border state. And we here being headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, want the rest of the country, want you all across America to see what we are living through in Arizona. It's a one-of-a-kind docuseries available exclusively on SalemNow.com. That is SalemNow.com. You guys will see the poorest southern border wide open and what we can do to solve it. If you want to learn about the border, this is your opportunity. Brought to you by Turning Point USA, available at SalemNow.com.
In Dallas, a serial killer hears from families of his victims.
1 week after a second conviction of a man charged in the deaths of 22 elderly women, family members of those he's accused of killing gathered Friday to face him. For most of the families, it likely would be their only chance to face Billy Shamirmer in a courthouse. After trying Shamirmer in two of the deaths and obtaining two sentences of life in prison without parole, Dallas County prosecutors have said they will dismiss their remaining 11 capital murder cases against him. Jason Walker reporting.
Two Port Authority police officers are hospitalized after being mowed down by a stolen vehicle in Lower Manhattan on Friday. It happened when the officers tried to stop a stolen Mercedes near the Holland Tunnel. The driver got away. GM stopping production of the Chevrolet Corvette at its Bowling Green, Kentucky plant. They say the problem is supply chain issues. News and analysis at townhall.com. Department of Agriculture proposing sweeping changes in the way chicken and turkey meat is processed in an effort to reduce salmonella illnesses from food contamination.
Those changes could require meat companies to make extensive changes to their operations. The government wants new regulations rolled out beginning next year and completed within 2 years. Proposed changes include testing incoming flocks of chickens and turkeys for salmonella before they enter the slaughterhouse and limits on how much certain strains of salmonella can be on meat sold to consumers.
Correspondent Jeremy House. The Attorney General of Washington State asking a judge to give the maximum penalty for Meta's violations of campaign finance laws. The judge ruled Meta intentionally violated Washington's law 822 times, and each violation can carry a maximum penalty of $30,000. Meta has been violating that law since December 2018. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
And welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So all the new economic stats are in. They're bad. Why is this happening? Well, part of it's happening because of systemic foolishness on the part of central banks. It's very easy to say that if we just trimmed around the edges here, or if we just lower taxes a little bit, or raise taxes a little bit here, or if we just have the central banks manipulate the currency a little bit here or there, so we do a twist and we sell long-term bonds but sell short-term bonds. Like, none of that is going to address the big underlying problem. It's just shifting around deck chairs on the Titanic. And the UK is a perfect example of this. So the editorial board over at the Wall Street Journal has a good piece talking about Britain's pension crisis, because it really speaks to what's going on in the United States. They say this: Britain's newest parlor game is assigning blame for the country's exploding pension funds. Wobbly balance sheets at some of the United Kingdom's largest defined benefit pension managers have triggered a mini financial panic with ripples abroad. The causes of this crisis are worth relating because they may be coming to a financial instrument near you. Pensions in particular are blowing up because the funds are highly sensitive to changes in interest rates as they seek to balance assets and liabilities over long time horizons. The explosion is happening in Britain because defined benefit pension plans, the most interest sensitive, remain more common in the UK than in the US. As of 2019, about 35% of Britons enrolled in a private pension or defined benefit schemes. The United States proportion had fallen to 23%. So the difference between a defined benefit scheme and a defined contribution scheme, and a contribution is basically, if you're a defined contribution, you put in a certain amount of money, and then it mirrors the market. That's a defined contribution. Defined benefits means you are going to be told what you get back in your pension fund. And so the question is, can the pension fund actually meet those obligations? This happens very often in the public sector. If you think of Social Security as a defined benefits scheme as opposed to a contributions scheme, you understand why Social Security is going bankrupt, because they're actively defining how much money you get to take out no matter what kind of money you put in. As interest rates hit new lows after 2008, Britain's pension funds struggled to keep up. A low discount rate increased the present value of their long-term liabilities, while low rates across the economy reduced investment returns. The result was a widening pension deficit chasm, as actuarial calculations warned the funds would never be able to meet their future obligations. One option was to reduce the growth rate in liabilities. Companies sponsoring pensions tried to do so. As of 2021, 86% of Britain's defined benefit plans were either closed to new members or no longer letting members increase future payouts in line with current pay raises, up from 76% of plans in 2012. So a lot of these defined benefit plans were, again, closing down or they were phasing out. Another option was for companies to top up pension assets with extra cash injections from current operating revenues. But this had substantial economic costs because some companies couldn't actually afford it. All this explains why pension funds and regulators were so reckless to pursue or allow the hedging strategy now blowing up. This strategy, liability-driven investing, or LDI, was supposed to offer a way for pension trustees to use derivatives and hedging techniques to better meet liabilities without constant demands for cash from companies. In other words, they were basically investing in new and creative ways to avoid going back to the companies and saying, listen, we don't have the money to actually fund these pensions. But LDI strategies are highly sensitive to a rise in interest rates, which reduces the value of some hedges and triggers calls for collateral. Those calls set off mass selling of gilts that prompted the Bank of England to intervene with bond purchases to stabilize long-term interest rates. All these pension funds had to sell all of their bonds to essentially liquefy their asset base so they could pay out these pensions. Fund managers could and should have seen this risk. Many probably did, but they had to cope with ultra-low rates. They heard eminent economists promising low interest rates and low inflation were here to stay. What is not responsible for this is tax policy. Blame the Bank of England. The global monetary policy conceit since 2008 has been that central banks could push interest rates to unprecedented lows and then manage financial fragility via tighter regulation. That's been no protection at all, as Britain's highly regulated pension funds struggle to cope with the costs created by the sudden reversal of ultra-low rates to fight inflation. This is a warning, as central banks elsewhere belatedly tighten policy. After an extraordinary era of loose money, it's hard to know where the risks will appear, but you can't have incentives to take extraordinary financial risks for so long without casualties. To put it another way, modern monetary theory has been a great financial confidence trick. This is correct. Again, this is correct. Easy money creates speculation. It creates bubbles, and those bubbles burst. And easy money combined with massive government spending that requires high tax rates, that is going to shutter the economies here. It is incredible that the West continues to pursue exactly these policies, and then you blame the private sector when things go wrong. You created the incentive system for the private sector to do all of these things. And then you're like, well, maybe we can regulate it. Or alternatively, you could instead stop trying to manipulate the central currency. Now, the simple fact of the matter is that the Federal Reserve, for example, their stated goal is to keep unemployment low and to keep inflation low, right? These are their twin goals. That is not their job. Their job should be to provide a stable monetary base for the economy. Everything else should be in the hands of the legislature. Unfortunately, that's not how central banks have worked for a very long time. And that, of course, is a major, major economic problem, not just in the United States, but more broadly for Western countries. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. And meanwhile, speaking of a problem more broadly for Western countries, the war in Ukraine, while it is going swimmingly on the military front on behalf of Ukraine, it is not going particularly well for Ukraine in terms of the budget. This is a point that historian Neil Ferguson has made. He said, you know, we're shipping billions of dollars in weaponry to Ukraine, but the real problem is that their economy has been shut down since March, and they had huge – Russia blew a hole in the center of their economy. This has necessitated Vladimir Zelensky basically begging people for $55 billion just to fill in their budget gaps.
At this time, we have two key financial needs of the country. That's $38 billion to make up for the deficit of our budget for next year. That includes salaries of doctors and teachers, social payments and pensions. That's guarantees of Ukrainian people's survival. And other $17 billion that were verified by the World Bank and needed to rebuild the critical infrastructure in the RDNA framework. Those are schools, hospitals, critical transport and energy infrastructure, also damaged housing.
Right, so Ferguson wrote over a month ago, quote, to win this war, Ukraine cannot afford to lose economic stability. If the United States and EU want to see a Ukrainian victory, they have to step up their support immediately to reduce the Kyiv government's budget deficit and help the central bank avoid runaway inflation. It turns out that war has massive economic consequences for the countries involved in it. So the question is, do we want Ukraine to continue to be on the Western dime with no available end in sight? I keep focusing in here on a simple fact. You can be in favor of Ukraine, quote unquote, winning the war, but if you have no definition of victory, it is not possible for Ukraine to win the war. The reality is Ukraine has already won the war in the sense that they have defeated every Russian incursion into the country since 2014 when they lost Crimea and Luhansk and Donetsk. They have actually pushed back the borders of Luhansk and Donetsk. They have prevented Russia from taking Kyiv. They prevented Russia from taking Kharkiv. This means that Ukraine has achieved what any semblance of a normal war goal would be here, because no one foresees at this point that they're going to be able to put the Russians entirely out of Crimea. No one is really positing they're going to be able to push the Russians entirely out of Luhansk and Donetsk all the way up to the Russian border, certainly not with Vladimir Putin willing to throw in hundreds of thousands of more troops and maybe a tactical nuclear weapon. And so the question becomes, why are we even, how much sacrifice are we pursuing here on behalf of an incremental gain that is absolutely unclear? If you're Ukraine, I understand why you're saying, well, we're not giving up while we're winning. I get it. I do. But if you're the West, you've achieved your goals here. Russia has been stymied in Ukraine. Their end goal of deposing the Ukrainian government and putting in a puppet government that was going to be loyal to Russia has been prevented. Okay, that hasn't happened. Russia, its military, has been shown to be a second-rate military with third-rate weaponry. People who are running around in the fields of Ukraine with rifles that don't work and getting killed for their trouble. Russia has lost tens of thousands of troops in Ukraine. Russian casualties in Ukraine right now? Maybe approaching 100,000. According to the Moscow Times, there have been over 90,000 irrecoverable losses suffered by Russian soldiers in Ukraine. More than 90,000 troops dead, disabled, or AWOL. Understand that over the entire course of the Vietnam War, to take contrast here, there were approximately 58,281 killed in action or non-combat deaths. And there were another 153,000 wounded in action, which means that if you total that up, you're talking about a couple hundred thousand, 210,000 Americans who were either killed or wounded in action. Okay, so those are big numbers. Those numbers happened over the course of 1963 to 1975, a 12-year period. We haven't even had a 12-month period in Ukraine, and the Russians have already lost about half that number. Those are astonishing numbers. So what exactly are we gaining from a continuation here? We've already proved that this is not a conventional military power capable of challenging the NATO, let alone the United States directly. So that has been taken off the table. If you were worried about America having to fight a two-front war and you thought that one of those fronts was going to be against Russia, that is no longer a relevant concern. The other thing that's happened because of this war is that China, because it sided with Russia, has alienated Europe, which is now back in much tighter connection with the United States. These are all big wins for the U.S., but they've already been achieved. So the question is, where are you going from here? Do you really want to spend another $55 billion on Ukraine's budget? I mean, that's just what they need right now. You keep this thing going, it's going to be hundreds of billions of dollars for Ukraine's budget. And the United States will end up paying, I assume, for a huge bulk of that spending. Meanwhile, the question becomes how far this is going to go before Vladimir Putin decides to use a tactical battlefield nuclear weapon. According to French President Emmanuel Macron, France will not respond with nuclear weapons if Russia uses them against Ukraine, which is, I think, the sort of normal response of the West, is that we are not going to escalate to the point where we're using nuclear weapons. But what if Putin keeps pushing, right? I mean, let's assume that this thing escalates. Let's say that Putin feels like he's losing in Ukraine so badly and the West is not giving up. He uses a tactical nuclear weapon in Kharkiv or something. And let's say that the West responds by putting NATO planes in the air over Ukraine and they start bombing every Russian target in sight. They sink every ship in the Black Sea. They maybe have to push into Russia in order to hit missile batteries that are positioned along the border. Let's say they have to do that. And let's say that Russia then starts shooting down NATO airplanes. Or let's say that Russia goes even further. They start shooting down NATO airplanes. The Putin regime is tottering. And Putin decides that he's actually going to up the ante by firing a tactical nuclear weapon, not on the battlefield in Ukraine, but into Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, in an attempt to break the coalition. If this thing gets out of control really, really fast, and France is recognizing that, Macron said, our doctrine rests on the fundamental interests of the nation. They are defined clearly and wouldn't be directly affected at all if, for example, there was a ballistic nuclear attack in Ukraine in the region. So he's clearly saying we are not responding in kind. So what exactly is the response going to be? The answer is nobody knows, which is why we should avoid it. You know, this bizarre notion that you can just let events take their course is strange to me. According to The Hill, mounting fears that Russian President Putin could resort to a nuclear weapon to stem his losses in Ukraine have prompted debate about what are the real red lines for Moscow and Washington. Putin has made only general threats to use nukes if Russia is attacked, though it's unclear what that means given Moscow's expanding claims of Ukrainian territory. The United States has pledged catastrophic consequences if Putin goes nuclear, but President Biden has declined to offer any details about what a U.S. response would look like. Several U.S. officials and experts offered support for the strategic ambiguity, and again, you get the strategic ambiguity, but it could cause miscalculation. According to former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, so the president is talking about Armageddon, he's talking about catastrophic consequences. I can't imagine that if Putin uses a nuclear weapon, that doesn't take the nuclear genie out of the bottle. Maybe this provides flexibility, but maybe this also means that you should stop before the red line gets crossed, because one thing that we have seen in the past is complete unwillingness by Democratic administrations to actually act in the ways they say they will when red lines get crossed. And Biden has said this is a red line. He just hasn't said what happens afterward. Well, the same thing happened with, as you recall, Barack Obama in Syria. He said if chemical weapons are used in Syria, this will cross a red line for us. By red line, he meant that we would then hand Russia the entire nation of Syria in order to control it. So a rational policy at this point looks like an off-ramp. I can't say it often enough. I will continue to say it, despite the fact that there are people with Ukrainian flag in their Twitter profiles who seem to believe this is an anti-Ukrainian point. It is not an anti-Ukrainian point. I'm a very big fan of backing Ukraine here, but there has to be some sort of material end to this situation, without question. More on this in just one moment. First, I'm here to tell you about an organization I strongly believe in, Preborn. Preborn's mission is to save babies' lives from abortion. Right now, they need our help more than ever as they prepare for the influx of abortions in sanctuary states. Preborn offers free ultrasounds to expectant mothers. When a mother who is considering abortion sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, that is a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she's going to choose life. Preborn has rescued hundreds and thousands of babies' lives. Their work is entirely dependent on you, the pro-life community. Our goal is to rescue 10,000 babies' lives right here on The Ben Shapiro Show. Will you help us? Get involved right now by dialing #250 on your cell phone and saying keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. $140 provides 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $10, $100, $1,000, all the way up to a full ultrasound machine for $15,000. Again, when mom sees the ultrasound, she's significantly less likely to opt for the termination of the pregnancy and the killing of the unborn child. Call now at #250, say baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. Again, #250, say baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. Let's save babies together today. Alrighty, coming up, the gunman who murdered 17 people in Parkland has now been sentenced and will not receive the death penalty. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to readingcivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive presale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
25.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the jury has now come back in the Parkland shooter case. The Parkland shooter has been sentenced to life in prison and not death. According to the New York Times, the disturbed young man who carried out a massacre in the hallways of his former high school 4 years ago, igniting an anti-gun violence movement led by students raised in an era of mass shootings, should not be condemned to death and instead should spend the rest of his life in prison, a state jury said on Thursday. In a swift decision that stunned many of the victims' families, the jury of 7 men and 5 women sentenced the shooter, we don't use names of mass shooters on the program because it gives them no notoriety they seek, they sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole for all 17 first-degree murder counts after about 7 hours of deliberation and a grueling and often emotional sentencing trial. In each decision, the jurors indicated prosecutors had convinced them the killings had been so depraved as to warrant the possibility of the death penalty. They also indicated none of the terrible facts about the gunman's crimes outweighed the circumstances of his deeply troubled life that were the focus of his defense, and so they specifically and repeatedly rejected capital punishment. The shooter showed little emotion as the jury's decision was read. His victims' families were horrified and baffled as they leaned over and as they learned over and over again his life had been spared. Many had assumed that the trade-off for enduring a painful and protracted trial would be a near certain death sentence. Deborah Hickson, whose 49-year-old husband Christopher Hickson, an athletic director, was murdered, said, quote, "What it says to me, what it says to my family, what it says to the other families is that his life meant more than the 17 that were murdered. He should give thanks to God someone had the grace and mercy on him that he did not show to other people." Defense lawyers had argued that the shooter's brain was damaged before birth because his biological mother drank heavily, smoked, and according to some witnesses, also abused drugs while she was pregnant with him. This apparently led him to suffer from fetal alcohol spectrum disorder that was never properly diagnosed. The lawyer said, despite his many developmental delays and behavioral problems, prosecutors recounted the meticulous planning that he did to carry out the rampage. The jury foreman told CBS Miami jurors had voted to spare his life. One of them had been a hard no on the death sentence because she believed the defendant to be mentally ill. Apparently, the foreman said the jurors had wanted to sleep on their decisions on Wednesday night before returning on Thursday and voting. He said, "It didn't go the way I would have liked or the way I voted, but that's how the jury system works, because Florida requires a unanimous vote in order to impose a death sentence." A female juror who voted against the death penalty said in a note to the judge that she had been fair and unbiased despite accusations from fellow jurors. She had made up her mind before the trial began. The juror said, quote, "The deliberations were very tense. Some jurors became extremely unhappy once I mentioned I would vote for life." Bob Jarvis, who's a law professor over at Nova Southeastern University in Florida, said the state had the uphill battle of having to win every single juror. Governor Ron DeSantis announced that he was disappointed in the sentence, as I think every rational person is. He said, "I just don't think anything else is appropriate except a capital sentence in this case." Overall, people are becoming more wary of the death penalty. A slight majority of Americans still support capital punishment. But this is like case 1A in why there ought to be capital punishment. Because when you have a person who walks into a school and shoots school children, that is a person who does not deserve to walk the planet anymore. Certainly not at the behest of taxpayer dollars. This is not a person who ought to be sitting in a secure prison facility watching daytime TV. As the judge read the jury's decision, the victim's families became increasingly angry and disturbed. They shook their heads and whispered to one another. Later, some burst into sobs. The judge set the formal sentencing for November 1st. Victims' families will be given the chance to speak beforehand. The judge does not have the power to overrule the jury and to impose the death penalty. In their decisions, jurors said prosecutors had proven beyond a reasonable doubt 7 aggravating factors out of 16 in Florida law that justify the death penalty. Aggravating factors included that the murders were especially heinous, atrocious, or cruel, that they were committed in a cold, calculated, and premeditated manner, among others. But again, some of those jurors said that the aggravating factors did not outweigh the mitigating circumstances, including the death of his adopted mother from pneumonia 4 months before his attack. Again, this is the notion that sympathy for a mass murderer should outweigh the damage done by the mass murderer is a moral flaw. People tend to think the Bible is hackneyed and it's beyond its time. When the Bible says, if man sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed, there is a reason for that, a system that makes it very difficult to put off this mortal coil, a person like the Parkland shooter. That is a system that needs to be revised in some way, especially if you have people who are specifically dedicated, it sounds like one juror was, to the proposition that all you have to do to show that the person should not receive the death penalty is to show that he had a troubled childhood or that he might have had some sort of any sort of mental issue. Alrighty, coming up, A Virginia legislator, Democrat of course, is proposing that parents should now be made into felons for not transing their kids. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Voting is your right and civic duty. It is important to know who's running for office and to know the definition of proposed measures that are set to appear on the ballot. Read up on political issues and figure out where you stand. Get out and talk to people and learn more about who could represent you and your interests. Attend local forums involving political candidates and find out if their interests align with yours. Be informed. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading, where you can enjoy the comfort of your vehicle, including the air conditioning, while they remove the smoke and grime, debris, and other deposits that can build up on your vehicle and possibly damage the finish and paint. Quick and Clean Car Wash packages start at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction.
Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there is a Democratic lawmaker in Virginia who has now proposed the most radical piece of legislation I've ever even heard of. A new law in Virginia, a proposed law in Virginia proposed by a Democrat, is doing all the things that I suspected the Democratic Party would eventually love to do with regard to LGBTQ plus IA divided by sign minus sign. I don't know. All the rest of the symbols. What that agenda would like to achieve. According to 7 News in Virginia, quote, Virginia parents could face a felony or misdemeanor charge if they do not affirm their child's sexual orientation and gender identity, according to a state lawmaker with plans to introduce the legislation in Virginia's upcoming legislative session. Right now, parents' rights and LGBTQ protections are a big focus in Virginia. Maybe the I in LGBTQI stands for imperialism, because this is cultural imperialism, the idea that you get to go into a parent's home and dictate to them that if their child says to you them that they are a member of the opposite sex and you say, no, you're actually not, now you should be arrested, according to this Virginia Democrat. According to WJLA.com, in response to Glenn Youngkin's proposed model policy on the treatment of transgender students at Virginia schools, namely that they should not be called by alternative names unless they've legally changed their name, they should not be called by an alternative sex without parental permission, Democratic Virginia delegate Elizabeth Guzman plans to take legislative actions. The day Governor Youngkin wanted to implement this policy, I immediately texted the policy lead of that committee and said, this is how we're going to push back. Guzman is a social worker, and she's planning on reintroducing a bill in Richmond that says she would help protect LGBTQ children from their parents and guardians who are not affirming of their child's sexual orientation and gender identity. That's right. It would be child abuse if you don't do what the radical left wants you. If you don't trans your kid, the government is going to come for you. Now, I've said for a while that I think this is the direction the Democrats would love to go, whether we are talking about freedom of religion in the home or whether we are talking about your ability to tell your child they're not a member of the opposite sex. That the left truly believes that parents, family, social institutions like churches, these are encroachments on the true you. And children also have a true you. I mean, you can tell that they are transgender from the time they're in the womb, according to people on the left. You can't tell they're alive when they're in the womb, but you can tell they're transgender when they're in, you can kill them in the womb, but you also have to acknowledge they might be a member of the opposite sex while they're in the womb. This bill would expand the state's definition of child abuse and neglect to include parents who do not affirm their child's gender identity or sexual orientation. Guzman told 7 News, quote, if the child shares with those mandated reporters what they are going through, we are talking about not only physical abuse or mental abuse. What the job of that mandated reporter is to inform CPS, Child Protective Services, and then that's how everybody gets involved. There's an investigation in place. That's not only from a social worker, but there will be a police investigation. Before we make the decision, there is going to be a CPS charge. What could the penalties be if the investigation concludes a parent is not affirming of their LGBTQ child? What could the consequences be? Well, we first have to complete an investigation, Guzman answered. It could be a felony. It could be a misdemeanor. We know that CPS charge could harm your employment, could harm their education, because nowadays many people do a CPS database search before offering employment. What would you say to Republican colleagues who say this is criminalizing parents? Asked the reporter, quote, no, it's not. It's educating parents because the law tells you the do's and don'ts. The state is God. The law will tell you the do's and don'ts of how to raise your child. And if the state tells you that you must raise your child gay, you must raise your child trans, if the law tells you to do that, you must do it. The state is the great educator. It's just an educative method of telling you how you should raise your kids. Now, there is a libertarian wing out there that suggests that the law is nothing more than a sort of apathetic institution when it comes to issues like this. But when it comes to raising kids, it is absolutely not apathetic. Somebody wins and somebody loses. And if people like this win, parents lose. It's that simple. Yeah, the reality is that when you're talking about the protection of children, there is nothing more damaging to a child than lying to the child that the child could be a member of the opposite sex. There's nothing more damaging to a child than telling a child that complete freewheeling individualism in the sexual realm is an absolute good. That is a bad message for adults, let alone children. And yeah, that's precise. This will be mandated by law if this law were to pass, which it won't. Guzman said, this law is telling you, do not abuse your children because they are LGBTQ. Now, again, notice the language there. The notion here is that kids are born trans. Kids are born gay. There is such a thing as gay three-year-olds and trans two-year-olds. They are born that way. It would be the same thing as if your kid was born black and you abused the kid because they were black. Except that's not the way any of this works. Genetically speaking, there is no quote-unquote trans gene that has been identified. There's no gay gene, for that matter, that has been identified. The Human Genome Project did a full survey of 600,000 human genomes. And you know what they found? What they found is that alternative sexual behavior is linked to risk-seeking genes, but there is no actual quote-unquote gay gene that turns on and off in absolute fashion. In other words, just like virtually every other human behavior, sexual behavior is part genetic and part environmental. Okay, but the presumption here is that there's an absolute level of sexual orientation and gender identity that exists at the root base level of you. And it exists when you're a child. And if your parents refuse to go along with that identity, they are acting abusively. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, profiling, surveillance, data harvesting. There are lots of things not to like about the big tech giants. But what can you actually do about it? We don't all have $44 billion to go buy Twitter. But the good news is you don't need to be a billionaire to take a stand. For less than $7 per month, you can join me and fight back against big tech by using ExpressVPN. How do you think those big tech companies like Twitter make all their cash? Well, the answer is they track everything you do online, your searches, your video history, all of it, and then they sell your personal data. ExpressVPN helps you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, a unique identifier that every device has that allows big tech to match your activity back to you. That's why I use ExpressVPN on all my devices, to make it much more difficult for them to exploit my data for their own profits. The best part is how easy it is to use the ExpressVPN app. I just tap one button on my phone or computer to turn it on. That's all it takes to keep people out of my business. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro right now. Get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro, ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. I've been using it for years. It keeps me safe online. It makes sure that nobody can see what I'm doing online because, again, that's just my business. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro to get started. Guzman says, I've been asked that question by knocking on doors. The Bible says to accept everyone for who they are. Oh, is that what the Bible says? I'm pretty sure that's not what the Bible says. I mean, I may not be a biblical expert. Spoiler alert, I know a lot more about the Bible than this human. The Bible does not say to accept everyone for, quote unquote, who they are, if by who they are you mean the actions they do. In fact, the Bible says that you are to warn your fellow of sin. In fact, if you do not, this is called placing a stumbling block before a blind person. You are overtly enjoined in the Bible to try to warn people away from sinful activity. I was under the impression that the Bible is filled with talk about violations of codes of behavior. The Bible has some pretty strong opinions on sexual behavior, for example. But the Bible actually says, like, right off the bat, that male and female he created. Like, I'm not the one citing the Bible, she is. But if she's going to cite the Bible, I have to at least rebut the idiocy of what she is saying about the Bible. You want to talk about taking God's name in vain? Now, the commandment that says that God will not forgive is if you take God's name in vain in the Ten Commandments. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that you said, GD it. That's not what it means, that you took, said, oh, God bless it. That's not taking God's name in vain. What it means is that you use God as an excuse for your own political priorities. When you say that the Bible says to accept everyone for who they are, that is absurd. That's absurd on its face. The Bible says that you are supposed to separate the sin from the sinner. You're supposed to love your enemy, right? These are things that you're supposed to do, right? The New Testament says love your enemy. The Old Testament says love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, all that may be true, but you're not supposed to love the sin. And when you do what the left has done, and you conflate a person's behavior with their identity, right? What you do or what you want to do is who you are. That runs directly contrary to the notion of biblical identity in the first place. Biblical identity is about the idea that, yes, you are a genetic creature, you're an embodied person, but it is your job over the course of time to civilize yourself to what God wants of you, and that is external to you. God isn't in here. God is out here. And God has particular desires of you, and you're supposed to fulfill those desires. This means very often doing things you don't want to do. You think I don't want chicken parmesan? I'm an Orthodox Jew. I don't eat it. Okay, God wants things of me, I believe, and so I attempt to change my life in that direction. The only reason I'm talking in a religious sphere, I don't think you have to talk in a religious sphere about ascientific nonsense like this. If you want to talk about the science, as we did, the genetic science of sexual orientation, gender identity, perfectly happy to do that. If you want to talk about the absolute lie that a boy can become a girl, and that if you refuse to affirm that, that is actually a better method of parenting than simply mainstreaming your child into the lifelong gender dysphoria that is effectively, for a lot of these parents, Munchausen syndrome by proxy. You want the attention. You're carrying around your your quote-unquote trans child like a purse so you can show all of your friends what a tolerant and wonderful parent you are? We can talk about the science, but that's not what this lady's talking about. So the Bible says to accept everyone for who they are. So that's what I tell them when they ask me that question. That's what I will continue to tell people. By the way, when she says the Bible says to accept everyone for who they are, what she means is, and if you believe in the Bible in your home, we should arrest you. That's really what she's saying. You know, we all have a commitment to God. And for those believers out there, we know there's life after life. There's going to be a conversation between that person and God. And that's what we're after, to go by what the Bible says. It's not my job to judge anyone. It is my job to help people. It's not your job to judge it. Really? Really? You're right. It's not your job to judge anyone. But you're judging parents so much so that you're willing to jail them for saying that boys and girls exist as separate, dichotomous parts of the human species. Guzman says, I think it's extremely important we show that as a community we're ready to accept each other for who they are and whom they love. Oh, is that what you think is important? Because I noticed that religious people, you're not accepting them. You want to throw them in jail. You want to separate kids from their parents and break up families for your perverse view of the human situation. This is not a bill that will agitate parents. We haven't seen any parents come against it. Get ready, lady. Prepare thyself. If this bill actually got a serious hearing in Virginia, there would be mass protests that would make your head swim. This is what an extraordinary predation this bill would be. And again, I think that this sort of stuff is going to be mainstreamed across the United States in blue areas. It's already happening in places like Canada, where they're attempting to remove kids from parents if those parents refuse to go along with the left-wing social agenda. It's frankly one of the reasons I moved out of California. I see this crap coming 5 miles, 10 years down the road. In California, it's going to be very difficult to raise your child in a rational, predictable, and normal way in places like California. They will foist this stuff on you. This is LGBTQ imperialism. This is not live and let live. This is we are going to tell you how to raise your child. And we are going to actually facilitate child abuse. Because guess what? When you confuse kids about their sexuality and their gender at very young ages, you are performing an act of child abuse. That is what you are doing. Kids need structures. Kids need predictability. They need rules and they need institutions. Anyone who has ever raised a child knows this. But again, that cuts directly against the interests of the Democratic Party at this point. According to Fox News, the Biden administration is now expanding the range of taxpayer-financed gender-affirming health care options available to federal employees. Isn't this exciting? You can pay for Bob the tax adjuster at the IRS to become Jane the tax adjuster at the IRS. According to the Office of Personnel Management, quote, they continue to focus on ways our carriers can improve access to gender-affirming care for transgender and gender-diverse individuals. The expansion of this care comes just after the national debt hit $31 trillion, and fiscal year 2022 ended with an estimated budget deficit of $1.4 trillion. OPM said healthcare costs for federal employees is contributing to the increased debt load. Okay, now, realistically, Fox News is coming at this from a financial angle, like it costs a lot of money. That's not really the issue here. The issue here is why in the hell are taxpayers paying for people to get their breasts chopped off and fake penises attached to them? Why should anybody be paying for that except for the person who wants to have these body mutilating surgeries? That's even assuming that such surgeries should be allowed and that they're not a direct violation of the Hippocratic Oath. According to Fox News, some of this cost increase reflects a broader range of treatment options for those diagnosed with gender dysphoria. For example, OPM says that starting in 2023, all healthcare providers offering service under federal programs will provide coverage for fertility preservation procedures for people facing the possibility of infertility associated with medical and surgical gender transition treatment. So get this, you're not just paying for a woman to have her breasts removed and a fake penis sewed to her, you are also going to pay for her eggs to be removed and frozen in case later she wants to get pregnant. You will pay for that. This is, after all, this is what equitable access is all about. Equity means that sex does not exist as a biological reality. Equity means that you will be paying for other people to mutilate their bodies, and you will be paying for their fertility procedures afterward. By the way, there's a lawsuit in New York State right now in which apparently there are people who are suing. There are infertility treatments that are covered by healthcare in places like New York. And you now have gay couples that are suing for fertility, meaning they want the state to help pay for them to get a surrogate birth mom. Okay, there's a difference between a woman who is suffering from infertility as a medical condition and a man who cannot get pregnant saying, I can't get pregnant, so pay for me to take another woman's egg and inseminate her. We have moved beyond the range of rationality, but this is what, again, this is the world that Democrats would love to create, apparently. The Department of Energy says it will establish a new policy for gender identity and gender transition to support transgender and non-binary colleagues. The agency told Fox News Digital the policy is aimed at ensuring there is easier access at the department to already established federal coverage and support for transgender employees. A White House official emphasized that gender transition coverage for federal employees existed prior to the Biden administration and is similar to plans of prominent corporations. Well, then, what are you changing exactly? And just because it existed before, does that mean that this is a better idea? Again, the lies that are being told by Democrats on this stuff are pretty incredible. This is why you have Joe Biden promoting transgender treatments as, quote, life-saving care. It is now life-saving care to radically increase the number of children who are having hormones shot into their bodies and later having their breasts cut off or their penises cut off. That's life-saving care, you see. It's like experiencing a battle wound and the shrapnel is taken out and you're sewed up. It's exactly like that. Life-saving. A little bit more on this in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, there's a doctor in Florida who is doing yeoman's work in cutting off the breasts of underage women. And she calls herself Dr. Tinus Deletus. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Patrick McGinnis is actually the guy who first coined the phrase fear of missing out. This reminds me of when you're in the supermarket and you're always worried you're going to pick the slowest line and inevitably you do.
Part of what helps us to overcome that is a sense of gratitude. Those 3 seconds, if you can just use that time to be appreciative of what you have, you will not be focusing on what you don't have.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
Welcome back. He's the Ben Shapiro Show. So, over in Florida, there is a doctor who calls herself Dr. Titus Deletus, which is a reference to breast removal surgery. Dr. Titus Deletus has been reported to America's Consumer Watchdog for using her huge TikTok following to unfairly and deceptively sway teens into having sex change operations, according to the UK Daily Mail. A complaint to the FTC obtained by the Daily Mail says Dr. Sidiba Gallagher, who runs Gallagher Plastic Surgery in Miami, talks up the benefits and downplays the risks of sex reassignment surgeries. Shocker. It accuses Dr. Gallagher, who says she carries out between 400 and 500 gender affirmation surgeries every year, of using catchy videos with pop music backing tracks on social media platforms as a marketing gimmick to attract vulnerable and impressionable minors to everything from breast removals to bottom surgery, which is the chopping off of penises and testicles and the formation of fake penises on behalf of young women and the sewing of these non-working penises to the young women. This apparently is all great, according to Dr. Titus Deletus. The clinic said in a statement that the videos aim to educate and celebrate a marginalized groups, and Dr. Gallagher has become a target of attacks and complaints because of her politically charged work with transgender teens. Again, just amazing, amazing stuff. And if you look at the exciting videos that are being promoted by Dr. Titus Deletus on TikTok, they really are quite astonishing. They really are quite amazing. Dr. Gallagher uses the phrase "yeet the teats," which apparently means remove your breasts. The videos obviously glamorize, romanticize, and valorize medical gender transition, according to the complaint. It's amazing. Young people are tweeting, are putting on her Instagram profile things like, "First surgeon I've ever seen on here, especially for this stuff, definitely saving this info for when I'm old enough." In one video, Dr. Gallagher appears wearing scrubs and looking sad. Superimposed over her head is the text, "Just realized I only get to yeet four teats next week," and a crying emoji, while an Eminem rap tune plays in the background. Yes, there's nothing quite like yeeting the teats. It's definitely a positive for Western civilization when doctors who are duty-bound not to harm their patients are celebrating, and they're lamenting, they're crying over the fact they only get to cut off four breasts next week. We have lost all moral compass in this civilization. We have. As well as being catchy, according to the UK Daily Mail, the videos explain the various types of surgery that are available to those unhappy with the gender they were assigned at birth. Dr. Gallagher says gender-affirming surgeries are essential for youngers who may otherwise commit suicide. Yes, again, we come back with this statistical lie that you will either end up dead or mutilated. Those are your two choices. You'll either mutilate your body or you will die. Indubitably. By the way, again, the cause of suicide are one of the most mysterious things in social science. Okay, going all the way back to Emil Durkheim, there's been significant question as to why suicidality is, for example, it seems to be transmissible. Right? It happens in groups of people. It seems like social contagion is an aspect of suicidal ideation, which is why, you remember, there's a big controversy over the Netflix show 13 Reasons Why, which seems to justify suicide. The bizarre, simplified version of this, which is that, well, if you're a boy and you feel like you're a girl and you can't chop off your penis or have Dr. Titus Deletus mutilate you, that you're now going to kill yourself. What a wonderful piece of medical science we are now learning about at this point. Whew. Disturbing stuff. And meanwhile, Xi Jinping in China is about to re-enshrine his power for the foreseeable future. A Communist Party Congress opening on Sunday is shaping up to be Xi's imperial moment, strengthening and extending his rule, according to the New York Times, while also intensifying the long-term hazards from his singular dominance. At a meeting in Beijing, he seemed sure of winning a third term as the party's general secretary, breaking with recent expectations Chinese leaders would reign for around a decade. He is making himself a Mao-esque figure in China. Wu Qing, a political analyst in Beijing, said, quote, "The certainty will really only be in the arrangements at the topmost level. His power is beyond challenge. Beneath that, we'll face a lot of uncertainties. The evolution of Xi's public face is parallel to his transformation of China into a proudly authoritarian state, scornful of criticism from Washington, increasingly sure that Western democracy has lost its allure, and impatient for a bigger state in shaping the 21st century global order." The risks of a possible invasion of Taiwan seem to be increasing here because, of course, Xi's China is economically weakening. COVID has really hurt them. Their supply chains are being burdened. People are reshoring. And so as China weakens, it's going to make Xi more aggressive. Even according to the New York Times, Xi may become more prone to swaggering oversteps. Unanswered questions over how long he will stay in power and when he will name a successor could unsettle officials, investors, and other governments. Most experts believe he will not assign an heir to Congress, wary of undercutting his own authority. So prepare for things to get hotter in East Asia as opposed to the opposite. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Authorities say a 15-year-old who shot and killed five people in Raleigh, North Carolina Thursday is hospitalized in critical condition. Correspondent Rita Foley has more.
There's a lot they still don't know, say authorities. They haven't said how the boy was injured, and they haven't yet figured out why he did this, they say. Governor Roy Cooper.
Today we're sad, we're angry, and we want to know the answers to all the questions.
The mass shooting in Raleigh is the 25th mass killing in this country this year. I'm Rita Foley.
Well, now that he's been subpoenaed by lawmakers, former President Trump must decide if he will testify for the January 6th committee. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
Many observers believe Trump is almost certain to fight the subpoena and decline to testify. But the New York Times reports that he has told aides he wants to testify so long as he gets to do it live. The January 6th House committee voted unanimously to subpoena the former president. Responding on his social media outlet, Trump blasted members for not asking him earlier, though he didn't say he would have complied. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A top Federal Reserve official is warning against raising interest rates too quickly. Kansas City Fed President Esther George said moving too fast can disrupt financial markets in the economy in a way that ultimately can be self-defeating. The comments come as inflation continues to show no signs of slowing down. The winner of the women's 2021 Boston Marathon is disqualified for testing positive for doping. As of now, Diana Kipyoki is also banned from competing professionally. Officials say traces of banned substances were detected in testing done after the race. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, Dennis Prager here with some information on a new product that's quite fascinating for staying healthy, Cofix RX. Everybody's been in the situation, the person next to you is sniffling or even coughing. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving, and to limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix is just like that. Cofix is a providone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that helps keep you protected from airborne viruses. With Cofix RX nasal spray, you'll target colds, flus, and other viruses right where they breed in your nasal cavity. Cofix RX should be in everyone's pocket, purse, or medicine cabinet. Visit CofixRx, that's CofixRx.com, for a doctor, pharmacy, or health food retailer near you, or use the coupon code Prager for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
A week after the second conviction of a man charged in the deaths of 22 elderly women, family members of those he's accused of killing gathered at a Dallas courthouse Friday to face him. For most of the families, Friday was likely their only chance to face Billy Shamir Mir in a courthouse. After trying Shamir Mir in two of the deaths and obtaining two sentences of life in prison without parole, Dallas County Prosecutor's Office said they will dismiss their remaining 11 capital murder cases against him. Prosecutors in neighboring Collin County haven't yet said if they will try any of their 9 capital murder cases against him. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he supports an investigation into potential jury misconduct in the Florida high school massacre penalty trial. The assistant state attorney said their office cannot ignore reports of threatening behavior among jurors. Nicholas Cruz pleaded guilty to the 2018 killing of 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. News and analysis at townhall.com. Two of the nation's largest grocers have agreed to merge. John Scott has more.
The deal would help them better compete with Walmart, Amazon, and other major companies that have stepped into the grocery business. Kroger has bid $20 billion for Albertsons. Kroger operates 2,800 stores in 35 states, including brands like Ralph's, Smith's, and Harris Teeter. Albertsons operates 2,220 stores in 34 states, including brands like Safeway, Jewel Osco, and Shaw's. Together, the companies employ 710,000 people. John Scott reporting.
A new study from Oregon Health and Science University finds that breast cancers that emerge within 5 years of giving birth are more likely to spread and become deadly. The study of 2,700 women found that the risk was 50% higher among women who had given birth as opposed to women who had not. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Voting is your right in civic duty. It is important to know who is running for office and to know the definition of proposed measures that are set to appear on the ballot. Read up on political issues and figure out where you stand. Get out and talk to people and learn more about who could represent you and your interests. Attend local forums involving political candidates and find out if their interests align with yours. Be informed. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. As you all recall, because you're older than 3 years old, Donald Trump was impeached twice. The first time he was impeached was obviously not over January 6th. The first time he was impeached, it was over a phone call with the president of Ukraine in which he allegedly threatened Ukraine with removal of military aid if Ukraine didn't come up with some sort of dirt on Hunter and Joe Biden. And There was no actual criminal charge named in the impeachment proceeding. There was a suggestion that there had been bribery or that the use of American power in order to facilitate your electoral demands and to hold up defense aid for an ally on that basis could be impeachable. And remember, President Trump was, in fact, impeached in the House before he was acquitted in the Senate on those grounds. And you will remember that the New York Times was a big backer of that impeachment effort. In fact, they put out an editorial in November of 2019 talking about why Donald Trump should be impeached. And here is what they said. They said, quote, "Americans agree to give their elected officials power over them, and those officials agree to exercise that power on Americans' behalf. If the nation's leaders breach that deal by lining their own pockets and bartering their interests of their citizens, they break the trust that self-government and democracy depend upon. The testimony so far indicates it's even worse in this case. It suggests that Mr. Trump wasn't simply soliciting a bribe, but doing so to try to rig the next election. It should go without saying, representative democracy cannot work if its leaders are cheating to keep themselves in power." Okay, so again, the idea was Donald Trump had engaged in a quid pro quo with Ukraine. He had essentially threatened to remove from them the weaponry that they needed in order to stave off a possible Russian invasion, which of course didn't happen while Trump was president, happened while Biden was president, and that he was threatening them with that so that they would go and dig something up on Hunter and Joe Biden for purposes of the 2020 election. And Trump's case was, well, no, I care about rooting out corruption in Ukraine. That's really why I'm worried about all this, because Ukraine has had serious corruption issues and Burisma is a serious corruption issue. And his opponents were saying, no, that's all a bunch of crap. The reason that you're doing this is for electoral purposes. The one thing that we were all supposed to agree on, left and right, is that quid pro quos for purposes of domestic political gain are bad. Right? These are bad. These are, according to Democrats, impeachable. The only question was whether Donald Trump had actually done this or not. But certainly it was an impeachable offense to, for example, demand that an American ally do a thing for you, specifically for you, for your electoral efforts, and in return, you would give them something that American taxpayers were paying for. That would be a quid pro quo. Well, this brings us forward to today, because as it turns out, it looks very much like this administration, the Biden administration, has been participating in a quid pro quo with the Saudis. In fact, while Ukraine denied that there was a quid pro quo arrangement with Donald Trump during that impeachment proceeding. You remember this. Zelensky came out and he said, no, well, that's not how I read the phone call. The Saudis are saying, no, there was an attempted quid pro quo here. Joe Biden was pressuring us to essentially pump oil for one additional month to get him past the midterm elections, to keep those oil prices a little bit lower than they otherwise would be. And then he would presumably step off the gas himself, figuratively speaking, with regard to his persecution of the Saudi government, his crackdown on the Saudi government. According to the UK Daily Mail, the Biden administration weighed in with Saudi Arabia and other OPEC Plus members, urging them to hold off for another month before announcing oil production cuts, a move that would have delayed the stunning announcement until after the midterm election. The administration framed its objection to the production cuts as boosting Russian President Vladimir Putin's brutal war in Ukraine, but according to the Wall Street Journal, the Saudis rejected the admonitions, viewing the administration's objections as a, quote, political gambit by the Biden administration to avoid bad news. So you'll notice that the Biden administration did not ask for, say, a six-month increase in oil pumping. They did not ask for flexibility over the course of the coming year with regard to pumping that oil in order to quash Russian efforts in Ukraine. No, they asked for a one-month pause, 1 month, which would, kind of suspicious, brings you just past the election. And in fact, the Saudis have now put out an actual statement confirming, effectively speaking, that Joe Biden was pressuring them for electoral purposes. Their statement says, quote, "The kingdom affirms that the outcomes of the OPEC Plus meetings are adopted through consensus among member states. They are not based on the unilateral decision by a single country. These outcomes are based purely on economic considerations that take into account maintaining balance of supply and demand in the oil markets, as well as aim to limit volatility that does not serve the interests of consumers and producers, as has always been the case within OPEC Plus. The government of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia affirms that any attempts to distort the facts about the kingdom's position regarding the crisis in Ukraine are unfortunate, and will not change the kingdom's principal position, including its vote to support UN resolutions regarding the Russian-Ukraine crisis, based on the kingdom's position on the importance for all countries to adhere to the UN Charter, principles of international law, and the kingdom's rejection of any infringement on the sovereignty of territories of countries over their territories." In other words, Saudi saying, listen, we voted with you guys against what Russia is doing in Ukraine. So trying to say that we are sort of in the Russian pocket is just not true. We're doing this for our own economic reasons. But this is fascinating. Quote, "The government of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia would also like to clarify that based on its belief in the importance of dialogue and exchange of views with its allies and partners outside the OPEC Plus group regarding the situation in the oil markets, the government of the kingdom clarified through its continuous consultation with the U.S. administration that all economic analyses indicate that postponing the OPEC Plus decision for a month, according to what has been suggested, would have had negative economic consequences." And so that is them very not subtly saying, you asked us for a one-month delay. And we notice, and that is not good economics, and it's not good for our business. But the most important thing is that Saudi is confirming that Biden didn't ask for an indefinite delay on production cuts. He asked for a one-month delay on production cuts. And as soon as it became clear that the Saudis were not actually going to do that, the White House then made clear that they were going to reevaluate ties with the Saudis. In other words, it sounds very much like they are threatening an American ally with everything on the table, up to and including the possible removal of military aid in the face of Iranian predations via Yemen and the Houthis, or Iran directly, that they're threatening that in order to get Saudi to jack up its oil supply just before an election. That's what it sounds very much like. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
According to the Washington Post, President Biden is kicking off a process of reevaluating and potentially altering the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia following the announcement by a Saudi-led coalition it would slash oil production, the White House said on Tuesday. Officials said Tuesday Biden is doing so. They offered no details on how the relationship might shift or what policies the president is considering. White House spokesman John Kirby told reporters, quote, "In light of recent developments and the OPEC Plus decision about oil production, the president believes we should review the bilateral relationship with Saudi Arabia and take a look to see if that relationship is where it needs to be." He said this is something the president's been thinking about, certainly in light of OPEC's decision. I mean, they're saying the quiet part out loud. They're not saying this is the culmination of a gradual breakdown in our relations with the Saudi government. They're saying, listen, if you guys had pumped the oil, we would not be reevaluating our decision. You didn't pump the oil, and so we're reevaluating our decision. And what were we asking for? A one-month delay. I mean, they're saying the quid pro quo out loud. It's unbelievable, actually. Now, there's nobody in the media who sees this apparently as a serious problem. It's totally okay when Democrats do this kind of stuff. It is totally okay when Barack Obama says to Dmitry Medvedev in advance of the 2012 election that he just needs some flexibility from Vladimir Putin, and then he will be able to get past the election, and it'll give him the flexibility he needs to treat with Russia in a more conciliatory fashion. Right? That was totally fine. That's totally fine. And apparently it is totally fine when Joe Biden openly, like in front of your face, asks a foreign ally to do a thing for him for electoral purposes. Because again, a one-month delay in oil cuts does not really benefit the American public, especially if that is going to be balanced out by more significant oil cuts, which are going to raise the price even further. So he's doing this for electoral purposes. And he's saying he's doing this basically for electoral purposes with that timeline. And then he's saying, well, maybe we'll remove the military aid. I mean, Joe Biden was literally asked yesterday about the possibility of removing military aid, and he just sort of didn't answer the question. Karine Jean-Pierre, the wildly untalented White House press secretary, she was out there saying, sure, there are going to be consequences for Saudi not doing what we want them to do.
I can't speak for their intentions. That is, or their timing. That's not something that I can speak of. But what I can speak about is their decision. And in the time of global challenges, economic challenges that we're seeing, this was a decision that was a mistake. And we can speak to that because it was actually something that we saw them do. And it's going to hurt, again, economies, across the globe that are middle, lower income. And so this is a bad decision. And so they will have consequences, as the president said last night. And it was, again, a mistake.
It was a mistake and a mistake. And they're trying to, spin this a little bit like, well, it's really for those low income. I noticed something about those low income countries, those third world countries. They're disproportionately siding with Saudi Arabia and Russia. You know what we could be doing? We could be providing them the energy supplies that they need, considering that America is, in fact, the world's number one producer of energy. But we're not doing that. Instead, we're ripping on the Saudis, and we're begging the Saudis, 1 month in advance of an election, to make sure that the oil prices are just low enough so maybe the Democrats aren't hurt too bad. Bloomberg's Jonathan Farrow actually asked the White House budget director, Brian Deese, about whether the White House pressured OPEC Plus to delay cuts for purposes of the election. And Deese essentially attempted to avoid the question.
Did you ask the Saudis to delay that decision for a month? Are they telling the truth or not?
Look, I'm not going to get on air and disclose private conversations that members of our
private
administration
have. The Saudis have shared it with us.
With
you've got the opportunity to say it's true or not. Is it true or not?
What I will say clearly is that the communications that we've had with OPEC members and continuing have been based on our assessment of the economic circumstances of supply and demand in global oil markets.
Okay, that's an amazing statement, right? He's just refusing to say outright whether they asked for a one-month delay or there's a six-month delay. Now we know. He's not rebutting the Saudis. He's not calling them liars. So does that sound like a quid pro quo? Does that sound like the president of the United States is effectively demanding that the Saudis do a thing he wants for electoral purposes, and he's going to threaten them with everything up to and including the removal of military aid in the most volatile region on planet Earth if he doesn't get what he wants? It's absolutely astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. Okay, but meanwhile, the media are focused in like a laser beam, not on that, a thing that is happening in real time right now with the president of the United States threatening to effectually increase conflict in the Middle East. Okay, the fact is that if this administration had any level of either understanding or decency with regard to the Middle East, what they would be doing is attempting to facilitate the addition of Saudi Arabia to the Abraham Accords. They were handed a legacy in the Middle East. And they were sitting in Jerusalem right now. And one of the amazing things that has happened in the Middle East over the course of the last 4 years has been the Abraham Accords, which has brought to the peace table Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Sudan, Morocco, a bunch of countries. And Saudi is perfectly willing to enter those Abraham Accords. All they require are a couple of fairly minor American guarantees. The Biden administration has been not only completely unwilling to do that, they've been fostering negotiations with Saudi Arabia's mortal enemies over in Iran, the Ayatollahs, who are busily cracking the skulls of women who refuse to wear hijab. They're negotiating with the Iranians. The Iranians, meanwhile, are spreading their terror tentacles through Syria, through Iraq, to Lebanon, to the Gaza Strip. And then this administration is threatening the Saudis. This administration is actually making relations worse with the Saudis. At a time when we could be building a burgeoning American alliance, a pro-America alliance in this region. This administration is pursuing precisely the opposite goal and then attempting to blackmail Saudi Arabia for Joe Biden's political benefit. But apparently we're not we should pay no attention to that. That is inoffensive. It's totally not a problem that the president of the United States is effectually engaging in a quid pro quo with Saudi Arabia, an American ally, again, facing down some of the worst people on earth over in Iran. This does not mean that the Saudis are wonderful humans. It does not mean that the Saudis don't engage in human rights predations. They do. So does pretty much every American ally that we deal with outside of the West. But it is fairly astonishing the media just don't care about this. What do they care about? They care about January 6th. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, profiling, surveillance, data harvesting. There are lots of things not to like about the big tech giants. But what can you actually do about it? We don't all have $44 billion to go buy Twitter. But the good news is you don't need to be a billionaire to take a stand. For less than $7 per month, you can join me and fight back against big tech by using ExpressVPN. How do you think those big tech companies like Twitter make all their cash? Well, the answer is they track everything you do online, your searches, your video history, all of it, and then they sell your personal data. ExpressVPN helps you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, a unique identifier that every device has that allows big tech to match your activity back to you. That's why I use ExpressVPN on all my devices, to make it much more difficult for them to exploit my data for their own profits. The best part is how easy it is to use the ExpressVPN app. I just tap one button on my phone or computer to turn it on. That's all it takes to keep people out of my business. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro right now. Get 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. I've been using it for years. It keeps me safe online. It makes sure that nobody can see what I'm doing online because, again, that's just my business. expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro to get started.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the January 6th committee held a fireworks-laden hearing. We'll get into all the details. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, while Joe Biden is actually doing quid pro quo with Saudi Arabia for his own political benefit, the January 6th committee is focused in like a laser beam on stuff that happened 2 years ago. So the January 6th committee held its last hearing on Thursday, the last one before the election, and they supposedly had a bunch of revelations to present. They declared themselves victorious, by the way. Like Benny Thompson, who's a Democrat, member of the committee from Maryland, he came out and he's like, we proved our case. We proved that Donald Trump facilitated and made happen the riots of January 6th in an attempt to overthrow democracy. And you didn't prove that. I'm sorry, you didn't. Okay, the thing that you did prove and that we already knew because we saw it in real time, so you actually didn't have to prove it, is that Donald Trump was attempting to put pressure on election officials in places like Georgia and Arizona in order to overturn the results of those elections and not have the electors certified in those states. Like, we knew that. He was publicly doing it. It was terrible. It was bad. But did Donald Trump actively tell people go riot at the Capitol? Was he organizing behind the scenes with the Proud Boys to actually riot at the Capitol, which is the charge they are making of him? I mean, they haven't proved that. So what exactly were the takeaways from the last hearing? Well, the Washington Post has a bit of a rundown. The big takeaways, of course, are that Donald Trump did not properly respond to the riots on January 6th, which I think, again, we knew because we have a clock. Right? Again, like there's a thing called a clock and there's a thing called Twitter, and we've had availability of both during January 6th. Donald Trump did not respond with alacrity to what was happening in the Capitol building. Yes, true. Okay, so what were the big revelations yesterday? Well, they brought forth some tape of Nancy Pelosi being Nancy Pelosi. So Nancy Pelosi apparently was on camera and she was watching Donald Trump speak. And then she was saying things like she was going to punch Trump if Trump was going to come to the actual Capitol building with the crowd or whatever. I have serious doubts that an 80-year-old woman was about to start jumping on Donald Trump and pummeling her with her bony fists. But nonetheless, we are supposed to pretend that this is an act of great heroism by Nancy Pelosi. Fine, whatever. Here was Nancy Pelosi.
Secret Service said they have dissuaded him from coming to Capitol Hill. They told him they don't have the resources to protect him here. So at the moment, he is not coming, but that could change.
I would come, I'm going to punch him out.
This is for now, I would pay to see
that. I've been waiting for this, for trespassing on the Capitol grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
Okay, I've been waiting for this. Well, if she'd really been waiting for this, then maybe she should have staffed up security at the Capitol building, considering she's the Speaker of the House. And then there was tape that was revealed of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi begging the Attorney General to get Trump to tweet to tell people to leave the Capitol building. So, again, we knew all of this. I mean, this is not big revelations happening right here. It just underscores bad stuff that we knew Trump was already doing.
They're breaking windows and going in, obviously ransacking our offices and all the rest of that. That's nothing. The concern we have about personal harm, personal safety it just transcends everything. But the fact is, on any given day, they're breaking the law in many different ways. And quite frankly, much of it at the instigation of the President of the United States. And now, if he could at least somebody.
Yeah, why don't you get the President to tell them to leave the Capitol, Mr. Attorney General, in your law enforcement responsibility? A public statement they should all leave.
Okay, and Trump eventually did put out a video, obviously, telling everybody to leave. And what is the purpose of this? Well, it's color commentary on stuff that we already knew. But again, it's designed to sort of refocus the country from the fact that we have a disastrous economic report, which we'll talk about in just a second, and a failing foreign policy and a president who doesn't appear to be coherent. And so let's focus in on Donald Trump. So what did the January 6th committee actually show yesterday? Not particularly much. They showed that Trump prematurely declared victory and that he intended to do so. That, of course, we knew already. Again, a lot of this we knew already. There was a suggestion by former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson that Trump already knew that he lost and that he was doing this despite the fact that he lost. According to Hutchinson, Trump said something like, quote, I don't want people to know we lost. This is embarrassing. Figure it out. We need to figure it out. I don't want people to know that we lost. Hutchinson said that this was not a verbatim quote. But she said twice Trump had spoken in terms that indicated he knew he'd lost. Well, unless you have, you know, some actual verbatim quote, again, it's going to be very hard to prove all of that. Also, as I've said before, Donald Trump has a unique capacity to talk himself into positions, as we know. And he actually believes a lot of things that are quite false, and that's because he's talked himself into them. They supposedly provided evidence that Trump might have approved of the rioters, but again, not really any hard evidence. When they say might, again, no evidence really provided. The committee leans in on the Secret Service, according to the Washington Post. Apparently, there are a lot of agents expressing concerns about the January 6th rally more than a week before, which again raises questions as to why security wasn't up to the actual Capitol building. Already coming up, the January 6th committee has voted to subpoena Donald Trump. What exactly does that mean? Not all that much, actually. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Spooktacular savings going on now at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, where they offer free estimates and are about 30% less than the national average. Mako also works with most major insurance companies, so whether it's a dent or a ding, a minor fender bender, or a full body repair and paint job, Mako has you covered. Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Voting is your right and civic duty. It is important to know who's running for office and to know the definition of proposed measures that are set to appear on the ballot. Read up on political issues and figure out where you stand. Get out and talk to people and learn more about who could represent you and your interests. Attend local forums involving political candidates and find out if their interests align with yours. Be informed. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
It's that time of year again for the Sundial Riffle Raffle. A tradition for over 30 years, the raffle has always been about our kids. And this year, we're not ducking out. Over $5 million has been raised for substance abuse prevention and youth development. And the Sundial Riffle Raffle is ready to raise more. The grand prize winner of the raffle will receive $10,000 cash. And second place will receive a houseboat vacation. Enter today at sundialriffleraffle.com and continue supporting our kids.
8909.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the January 6th committee, they finally unleashed the full power of this fully armed and operational battle station. They're subpoenaing Donald Trump. Does that mean anything? Not so much. Which is really more a dramatic photo op than anything else. Because as we'll discuss in just a moment, there really is no legal basis for compelling the President of the United States to testify in front of Congress. There are a bunch of presidents and ex-presidents who have been subpoenaed in the past. Some have testified, some not. It was really more just a dramatic move in advance of the fact that the Democrats are about to lose the House of Representatives and all this comes to a screeching halt in approximately 3 weeks here. And so here was the January 6th committee last night voting to subpoena Donald Trump.
If there's no further debate, the question is on agreeing to the resolution. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed is no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The clerk will report the vote.
Mr. Chairman, on this vote, there are 9 ayes and 0 noes.
The resolution is agreed to.
And shockingly, a committee that has no Republicans on it other than Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, shockingly, I can't believe it, they voted in favor of subpoena. So what exactly does the subpoena mean? It means nothing. It means literally nothing because there's no way for them to truly enforce it, and every legal expert understands there's no way for them to truly enforce it. Now, Steve Bannon was convicted of failing to perform in front of a congressional subpoena. He spent zero time in jail. Donald Trump is not going to jail over this. They subpoenaed him. They're going to throw. No, they are not going to do that. According to the Washington Post, not according to me. They point out that the committee voted unanimously to subpoena Trump to submit documents and provide testimony concerning the events of January 6th. Trump can refuse to comply with the subpoena. Lawmakers could ask the DOJ to charge Trump with contempt of Congress. Stephen Gillers, a professor of constitutional law at NYU, noted federal prosecutors may refuse such a request. Alternatively, the department could add contempt to later charges if, in fact, they indict him for other stuff. They could add it on top of, for example, document mishandling, which we'll get to in just 1 second. Contempt of Congress, as the Washington Post points out, is a rarely used criminal statute meant to ensure people comply with congressional subpoenas. Bannon was convicted of contempt of Congress in July. His sentencing is scheduled for October 21st. Each of the two misdemeanor charges is punishable by at least 30 days and up to 1 year in jail. Nobody has been incarcerated for contempt of Congress in half a century. So, yeah, you think that they're going, like, who? Who? Like, you think Joe Biden's DOJ is going to throw Donald Trump in jail for, what, 30 days or 60 days for contempt of Congress? How exactly is that going to work? Stanley Brand, former counsel to the House of Representatives, who's represented some of the January 6th witnesses, said, quote, there's a very low probability we'll ever see that happen. How do you make a case for needing to do this when you're a legislative body, not even a grand jury, though you've been acting like one? This is one of the other points, is that Congress, typically when you have a hearing, there are only a couple of purposes for the hearing. One is a legislative purpose for the hearing, right? We are going to investigate what went wrong so we can create legislation for the future. And then there's an investigative purpose to a hearing, which is we fear that you have abused taxpayer dollars to do something, right? It's an oversight hearing. What exactly is this hearing meant to do? I've said this since the beginning. What exactly are they discovering here that they're going to do something about? Where's the supposed misuse of taxpayer dollars that they're going to clean up? What legislation are they going to pursue? The answer is none of that stuff. Right? It's a grandstanding show. And listen, that's what a lot of congressional committees are. This is not unique to Democrats. There are Republicans who have run grandstanding congressional committees before. That's nothing new. But to pretend that this is some sort of law enforcement agency, it's a law enforcement body, is of course incredibly silly. The subpoena has pretty much no teeth. According to that NYU professor, the subpoena may be the committee's way of giving Trump a formal opportunity to respond to its work, even if it does not expect Trump to show up. Giller said, I suspect the committee will not try to enforce the subpoena. What it is saying with the subpoena is, here's your chance. Look, Donald Trump, yeah, sure. He's going to show up and he's going to, do battle with Benny Thompson? Very unlikely. By the way, there are a bunch of presidents who in the past have been subpoenaed, and some of them have testified. Lincoln testified voluntarily, for example, when he was subpoenaed. But a bunch of presidents have not, and ex-presidents. So in 1953, for example, former President Harry Truman refused to comply with a House subpoena after he was accused of knowingly appointing a Russian spy to a position while in office. The House Un-American Activities Committee subpoenaed Truman. He refused to comply. Instead, he gave a national broadcast denying the accusation, and the House let it go. I mean, 2 decades later, Nixon cited Truman when he refused to appear before a congressional committee investigating Watergate. His successor, Gerald Ford, of course, ended up pardoning Richard Nixon, and that ended the subpoena. Other presidents, including Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, and Bill Clinton, have all been subpoenaed, not before Congress, but in civil, criminal, and military proceedings. There are a bunch of people who have testified. There are some who have not. But the bottom line here is that there's no way for them to actually compel Trump to testify here. It's all a grandstanding move. A little bit more on this in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Now, does this mean that there is no indictment on the way for Donald Trump? That seems increasingly unlikely. It seems as though the DOJ, under pressure from the January 6th committee to do something about Trump, it seems as though they are probably going to move toward an indictment of him based on the mishandling of classified materials over at Mar-a-Lago, according to the Washington Post. A Trump employee has now told federal agents about moving boxes of documents at Mar-a-Lago at the specific direction of the former president, according to people familiar with the investigation, who say that the witness account, combined with security camera footage, offers key evidence of Donald Trump's behavior as investigators sought the return of classified materials. Again, one of the things that is so irritating about this particular story is we still have no idea what exactly are the materials that Trump was hiding and why. Like, why was this really just Donald Trump being like, I really like that love letter from Kim Jong-un and I want to keep it and I don't care if it goes to the National Archives. Go get it. Bill, go pick it up. Put it in the other room. Hide under my mattress. Like, if so, is that something you're going to send the former president of the United States to jail for? And the possible nominee for president of the opposing party in 2020? Like, that's what you're going to go after him for? So you missed on January 6th. And you impeached him twice, but didn't get him convicted either time. And this is your backup? The witness description and footage described to the Washington Post offer the most direct account to date of Trump's actions and instructions leading up to the FBI's August 8th search of the Florida residence and private club. The people familiar with the investigation said agents have gathered witness accounts indicating that after Trump advisors received a subpoena in May for any classified documents remaining at Mar-a-Lago, Trump told people to move boxes to his residence at the property. That description of events was corroborated by security camera footage, which showed people moving the boxes. Trump spokesperson Taylor Butterwich declined to answer detailed questions for this article. Butterwich said the Biden administration has weaponized law enforcement and fabricated a document hoax in a desperate attempt to retain political power. Every other president has been given time and deference regarding the administration of documents, as the president has ultimate authority to categorize records and what materials should be classified. Again, that seems like a specious piece of legal reasoning, but As always, several things can be true at once. Trump's irresponsibility with documents, given the Hillary Clinton standard of intent to distribute to nefarious sources, being required for actual prosecution, very difficult to get to the point where you think that Donald Trump ought to go to jail for something like this. According to the Washington Examiner, however, this is exactly the direction that the DOJ is moving. Apparently, government investigators are working to determine whether Trump committed a host of crimes, including those engaged with the destruction of government documents, mishandling of classified information, and obstruction. Trump has denied any wrongdoing, has dubiously claimed he declassified all of the records. According to former Mueller prosecutor Andrew Weissman, quote, between this and the testimony of Alex Cannon, Trump's MAL goose is cooked, as Mar-a-Lago. As I have oft said, the issue is no longer the proof, but DOJ's will. Trump's worker told FBI about moving Mar-a-Lago boxes on Trump's orders. So it looks as though, according to former Pentagon special counsel Ryan Goodman, quote, astonishing levels of evidence that would convince jurors. Witnesses have told federal investigators after subpoena for federal classified documents, Trump told people to move the boxes to his residence, corroborated by security camera footage. So there are people who are attempting to defend Trump, including former federal prosecutor Renato Mariotti. He underscored how the Trump employee, who has not been identified, reportedly changed his story across multiple interviews with federal investigators to admit that he handled sensitive material in moving the boxes at Mar-a-Lago. Mariotti also emphasized that the subpoena against Trump came in May, before Trump reportedly gave the direction to reposition the boxes. Mariotti said the employee is unlikely to be charged if he continues to cooperate. His testimony suggests Trump tried to keep documents from the DOJ. But again, if he changed his story a lot, that's going to lead to some holes in the story. Where this goes, again, it seems highly likely at this point that there will be some sort of charges brought by the DOJ here. The fact that the January 6th committee basically stirred up incentive for a Trump indictment on the document matters is somewhat telling. It also happens to be telling, as I said before, that the double standard when it comes to document mishandling is so obvious and so clear. Hillary Clinton is allowed to wildly mishandle classified documents, according to the FBI, so long as she didn't have intent to essentially distribute them to America's enemies, even if the enemies got a hold of them because she was keeping them on the internet. That apparently is not a prosecutable offense. What Trump did is a prosecutable offense. Meanwhile, Trump can be impeached for quid pro quo with Ukraine when Joe Biden engages in open quid pro quo with the full view of the American public and the world public and the Saudi Arabian government effectively confirming the ask for the quid pro quo. That apparently is not any sort of serious scandal in the media or on the left. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you too. They do all the work, no charge up front, simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Already coming up, the inflation stats are in and they suck. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K Care Net Race Run Walk starts at 9 a.m. Saturday, October 22nd at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. Whether you like to race or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K Care Net Race Run Walk for only $30 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenetreading.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit pregnancy resource center right here in Reading. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus immediately following the race for participants. That's the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 22nd at 9 o'clock. Sign up online today at carenet.reading.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden promised us inflation reduction via his Inflation Reduction Act. He promised us he was going to get all this under control. Fail. Everything that is happening with regard to the January 6th committee or with regard to Joe Biden campaign, all of it is an attempt to distract from the simple fact, which is that Joe Biden's economic record is abysmal. I mean, truly abysmal. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. consumer inflation, excluding energy and food, accelerated to a new four-decade high in September, a sign that strong and broad price pressures are persisting. The Labor Department on Thursday said its so-called Consumer Price Index, which excludes volatile energy and food prices, rose 6.6% in September from a year earlier. That's the biggest increase since August of 1982. That measure increased 6.3% in August. It's actually rising faster than it rose last month. So overall, by the way, the inflation report came in at 8.2%. And when they say that it rose 6.6%, excluding energy and food, people spend a lot of money on energy and food, as it turns out. The inflation report likely keeps the Federal Reserve on track to increase interest rates by 0.75 percentage points at its meeting next month. It also raises the risk officials will delay an anticipated slowdown in the pace of rate increases after that, or signal they are likely to raise rates to even higher levels early next year than previously anticipated by policymakers and investors. Again, they're going to have to slam on the brakes because there was so much easy money that was dumped into the system. U.S. stocks tumbled in early trading before reversing to close much higher on the day. Bond prices fell, while yields, which move in the opposite direction, rose. Again, people are not willing to buy American bonds because they can see that we're going to have to pay off all of our debts using these inflated dollars. Prices rose last month for housing, medical care, airline fares, and other services, threatening to keep inflation high for the foreseeable future. Investors and policymakers follow core inflation closely as a reflection of broad underlying inflation and as a predictor of future inflation. On a monthly basis, the core CPI rose 0.6% in September. That was the same as August. It was up from 0.3% in July. Bill Adams, the chief economist at Comerica Bank, he said inflation has built up a lot of momentum over the last year. That's going to keep inflation higher than the Federal Reserve wants it for at least a couple more months, if not a couple more quarters. No, it's going to be a couple more quarters. This is not coming down in the next couple of months. Core services prices, which tend to persist once they start rising because that obviously means increased wages and benefits, rose at a one-month annualized rate of 9.9%. Whew. So the services that you are paying for, you go to the dry cleaners or whatever, the sharpest rate since 1982 has now been seen here in terms of the increase in price. Prices for motor vehicle repair services rose 2.2% in September, month over month. That's not year over year, that's month over month. Veterinary services and daycare and preschool increased 2% last month alone. These are price shocks that are rippling through the American economy. Unsurprisingly, bond yields ended higher, lifted by the inflation data. Bond yields are the gap between the price of a bond and the par value of the bond. So what that means is fewer people are buying bonds because they have very little faith in the American government at this point. Bonds rallied with stocks later in the session, eroding some of the climb. But unlike stocks, they failed to recoup all of their price declines. Yields rose most sharply on short-term bonds, which are particularly sensitive to near-term interest rate outlook. They also climbed on longer-term treasuries, which tend to have a larger impact on the financial markets and the economy. Taken together, Thursday's moves in stocks, bonds, and currencies were difficult to understand, said Zach Griffiths, senior strategist and research firm Credit Sites. They provided more evidence of just how volatile markets are and how difficult they are to navigate. But treasury yields did tell a coherent story, said Griffiths, with rising short-term yields driven by bets on higher rates and the less rapid increase in longer-term yields reflecting a recognition that recession risks are rising. So basically, the short-term rate, you're not going to invest in a bond that is paying you off at, say, 3% or 5% over the short term because inflation is going to outpace the actual increase you get from the bond. You're instead going to hold on to the cash. Just to re-enshrine inflation and make sure that it becomes a permanent feature of American life, our cost of living adjustments that are built into Social Security came in at 8.7%. Okay, so Social Security checks are now going to be about 9% bigger than they were last year. That is the largest cost of living adjustments and benefits in four decades, according to the Social Security Administration. Now, the administration is championing this. They actually tweeted out, and the New York Times was tweeting out, well, this is going to be a really healthy boon for older Americans. Like, well, that's a really weird way of reading in permanent inflation into the economy as a good thing. According to, you know, people who are receiving Social Security checks, of course they need the extra money. The problem is that also is an inflationary pressure. It's an increasing inflationary pressure. Next year's COLA increase is likely to hasten the date of insolvency for Social Security Trust Fund, according to the Nonprofit Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, which predicts that full insolvency for Social Security is going to occur in 2034, so not all that far distant. At that time, Social Security income would be sufficient to pay for about 80% of scheduled benefits, which means radical increases in taxes or cutting in benefits or delay of old age retirement. Those are the three options that are available when Social Security goes bust. Again, you're going to see the Federal Reserve increase the interest rates more radically. They're going to have to continue escalating this thing. Mortgage rates, too, are jumping tremendously. According to MarketWatch, the rate on a popular type of home loan increased this week to its highest level in 20 years, according to data released on Thursday. The average rate on a 30-year fixed loan increased to 6.92% as of Thursday, according to the results of Freddie Mac's primary mortgage market survey. That is the highest rate since April of 2002, which means that we are about to see a tremendous cratering in the real estate market. When those mortgage rates are hitting 7%, who can afford a 7% mortgage in an economy that is this shaky? Mortgage rates have more than doubled this year as the Federal Reserve has moved to combat inflation. Sam Kader, Freddie Mac's chief economist, said, quote, we continue to see a tale of two economies in the data. Strong job and wage growth are keeping consumers' balance sheets positive, but lingering inflation, recession fears, and housing affordability are driving housing demand down precipitously. Basically, people are taking their money out of the market and they're waiting around on it because they're afraid they're going to lose their job over the course of the next couple of quarters, and many people will lose their jobs over the course of the next couple of quarters. All of this coming, all these bills coming due just before the midterm elections is precisely why Joe Biden was begging the Saudis to pump oil a month before the election. The Biden economic advisors have no strategy here. They're just going to try to whistle past the graveyard here. So you have Brian Deese, White House economic advisor, suggesting that inflation is really not about America. It's a global challenge, as though America isn't the leading factor in the global economy.
Inflation is a challenge. It's a global challenge. And I think the first and most important point is that the United States is in a better and stronger position to take this challenge head on than virtually any other country in the world. That's in no small part because of the policies that we've put in place and the strong and resilient economic recovery that we have here in the United States.
Oh, we're in a great position, are we? Because it seems like you're the ones who created the inflationary spiral with your vast bevy of spending. I thought, by the way, the Inflation Reduction Act was supposed to reduce inflation. It was like right in the name of the Inflation Reduction Act. And that is not working. D says our policies are making all the difference. To whom and how? Explain.
Prices are too high, but the message the president is delivering is that you have a president administration that's waking up every day trying to address that problem head on, and we are making progress. We are making progress on energy prices. We are making progress. We just have to stay at it. And so we have policies that are going to make a difference. We have policies that have already made a difference. We just have to stay the course.
So I have a few quibbles with that. One, I disagree that the president is waking up every day. Number two, obviously your policies are not actually moving us in the right direction. But again, who are you going to believe? your pocketbook, your bank account, or your administration. I mean, this is the question. You have to listen to Joe Biden. You have to listen to Jared Bernstein, the economic advisor the chief advisor to President Biden on the economy. He says everything is moving in the right direction, which is weird because everything seems to be moving in the wrong direction.
I think the question is, are policymakers doing what they need to do? The president released oil from the strategic reserve. That contributed to almost 100-day of gas declines. I mentioned our work on the supply side, the Inflation Reduction Act, lowering medical care costs, lowering prescription drug costs, lowering the cost of clean energy. So all of these are moving in the right direction. They take time to factor into these price indices, and we'd like to see that happen a lot quicker.
No. The answer to all of this is no. And the reason the answer to all of this is no, by the way, is not purely because of Joe Biden being bad at his job, although it's largely because of Joe Biden being bad at his job. It's not purely because of Jerome Powell being bad at his job, although Jerome Powell was bad at his job, and Janet Yellen, all these people are bad at their jobs. You know, the expert class, it turns out, is not particularly expert. It has to do more with the simple fact that the West has decided they're going to blow out the spending, and they will never, never actually receive the consequences of that other than in these vast recessionary waves in which they blame the private sector. That's the real underlying problem in all of this. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The investigation continues in Raleigh, North Carolina, where a 15-year-old fatally shot five people and wounded several others. One of the dead was an off-duty police officer. Authorities have not determined a motive. Mayor Mary Ann Baldwin.
Today has been a very difficult day in our city. You know, you pray that something like this will never happen here. It did.
The 2022 midterm elections are now 25 days away, and Republicans have a 7-point lead in their bid to recapture control of Congress.
The latest Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that if the elections for Congress were held today, 48% of likely U.S. voters would vote for the Republican candidate, while 41% would vote for the Democrat. Just 4% would vote for some other candidate, but another 7% are not sure. The GOP lead is up 3 points from last week when they led 47% to 43%. Republicans have led the general congressional ballot all year, although their lead has narrowed since mid-July when they led by as much as 10 points. Bernie Bennett reporting.
A heavily armed U.S. battalion is set to remain in Lithuania until at least 2026.
Lithuania's defense minister announced the move after a meeting with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in Bucharest, saying the decision to extend the rotational battalion shows that the U.S. takes Baltic security seriously, and it also sends a message to Russia. The Americans are here, and they're not going anywhere. The U.S. Army deployed a contingent of about 500 soldiers to Lithuania on a troop rotation basis in 2019. The forces include the Armoured Brigade Combat Teams that have been on exercises in the eastern flank countries since 2017. I'm Charles Villadesma.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Two people are arrested in London for throwing soup at Vincent van Gogh's sunflowers in the National Gallery, Ed Donahue reports.
The two are members of the group Just Stop Oil. They dumped two cans of tomato soup over the oil painting.
then glued themselves to the gallery wall.
Are you more concerned about the protection of a painting or the protection of our planet and people?
The soup splashed across a glass covering. The museum says the painting was unharmed. There was minor damage to the frame. People from that same group went to police headquarters in London and spray-painted yellow paint over the rotating New Scotland Yard sign. Others glued themselves to the road, blocking traffic. I'm Ed Donahue.
1 year after 17 North American missionaries were kidnapped in Haiti, the agency that sent them has not made a permanent return to the nation. 17 hostages were eventually free, but the kidnapping has highlighted the lack of security there. News and analysis at townhall.com. South Korea announces unilateral sanctions against North Korea for the first time in 5 years.
This latest round announced by Seoul targets more than 30 North Korean people and organizations, but they're unlikely to have much impact, as most are already covered by existing UN and US restrictions. But as North Korea continues to raise tensions on the peninsula, the South is running out of ways to respond. Last night, the North flew warplanes close to its border for the second time in just over a week and launched yet another short-range missile.
BBC correspondent Jean McKenzie reporting. Prosecutors say a crime may have been committed in the jury room in the Florida High School massacre penalty trial. During an emergency hearing Friday, the assistant state attorney said it can't be ignored that a juror may have threatened a fellow juror. Governor Ron DeSantis said he supports that investigation. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Dust off your lederhosen for the return of Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay on Saturday, October 15th. It's fun for the whole family with live music, games, beer, food, and most importantly, the costume contest. Purchase tickets and learn more at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Dust off your lederhosen for the return of Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay on Saturday, October 15th. It's fun for the whole family with live music, games, beer, food, and most importantly, the costume contest. Purchase tickets and learn more at turtlebay.org.
This weekend, Halloween Ends, which is the 13th and final movie in the Halloween franchise, hits theaters. You could tell Michael Myers is getting old because in this final film, he runs for president.
See? Being president is now an old joke. It's a punchline. You know, Joe Biden is turning 80 years young. 80 years young very soon. That's the phrasing that people like to use. He's turning 80 years young, and his granddaughter, is going to be getting married on the South Lawn of the White House. That's Hunter Biden's daughter. That's got to be kind of a crazy place to be, huh? Your grandfather is the President of the United States, which is pretty cool, except he's Joe Biden, which is not very cool at all. Your father is Hunter Biden. So you can watch all of his Russian crack porn on the internet with the guns and stuff. Hey, there's my dad. That's they probably avoid Fox News and Newsmax because you don't really want to, you know, see the family's dirty laundry. And in some cases, no laundry at all in the videos with Hunter Biden doing all kinds of strange things. And keep in mind, we didn't quite get to it yesterday, but, you know, Joe Biden and Jill Biden don't actually know how many grandchildren they have, which you think might be an issue. It's not, because Democrats, you know, and that's okay. The Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, the whole gang, they're okay with the fact that Joe Biden and, for that matter, Jill Biden, she's not a doctor. Did you know that? They don't know how many grandchildren they have. I know it's kind of hard to keep track. They keep moving and everything. They hardly ever sit still. pretty remarkable stuff. Very good piece, very intelligent and thoughtful piece in the magazine Tablet magazine. And it's, generally speaking, an intelligent production as it is. But how to lose friends and influence over people. How to lose friends and influence over people. A very thoughtful piece in Tablet magazine. I hope to get into that, at least to scratch the surface on that, because it's about how Obama and Biden have demolished U.S. standing in the Middle East in particular, but also around the world, because they're so awful and terrible, and they're not good people, and they're really bad at foreign policy. Remember, they told us Joe Biden was going to be Mr. Foreign Policy, and he was going to restore our standing in the world. Well, of course, the opposite has turned out to be the truth of the matter, and a very interesting piece written by a Saudi, a person from Saudi Arabia in Tablet magazine. It's quite an interesting piece shared with me by a friend of mine, and a very intelligent and thoughtful piece. Yesterday they had the January 6th swan song, and boy, it was really something. I actually watched a lot of it because I'm battling the scourge of low blood pressure. So yesterday I remedied that by watching some of the phony, it's not even a legitimate committee, because the corrupt Democrats corruptly stacked the deck. You know, when you have a committee, you have the majority party gets to decide what they're going to discuss, and we're going to have this special committee. And then the minority party is allowed to choose the members that they wish to put on the committee to counter and to rebut. But the Democrats corruptly stacked the deck like the third worlders that they are. And you ended up only with Adam Kinzinger, who's leaving the Congress, and, praise Allah for that, as the Democrats like to say. And Liz Cheney, who's also being kicked out of Congress because she lost her primary, and she's out. Get out! And I was watching this yesterday. But Adam Kinzinger, I can tell you, Michael, I was texting Michael Percy. He must have been scratching his head yesterday afternoon, because I sent this kind of long thing. I wouldn't say it was a screed, but it was a list of sound bites from an Adam Kinzinger moment where he accidentally revealed that there was an insurrection that took place. It's not the insurrection they've been talking about. You know, all of their riots have been insurrections, rebellions against established authority, which is the definition of an insurrection. But they have had hundreds and hundreds of insurrections assaulting the White House for days, forcing the evacuation of the President of the United States. The Democrats were fine with that. They smiled about that. In fact, Pelosi yesterday, video was revealed, shot by her own daughter, who's a fake documentary filmmaker. And Pelosi threatening violence again. You know how violent the Democrats are. Threatening to punch out President Trump. That's a video from January 6th, right? The day so big, you got to say it twice. And but it turns out that the generals launched a coup. It was like 7 days in May, and they just glossed over it. They walked through it like it's perfectly normal. President Trump ordered, while he was president, after the election, before Inauguration Day, that we draw down our troops from Afghanistan and from Somalia, right? And turns out the troops in Somalia, U.S. troops, President Trump ran on that, on drawing down our overseas wars and bringing our troops home. But the Democrats, they like the military-industrial complex. President Trump was not the president of the military-industrial complex. It turns out the generals disagreed with the president, so they undermined him. Once again, can you imagine President Trump being undermined by the permanent bureaucracy again and again and again and again? Because we're becoming a banana republic. Maybe we already are a banana republic. But I asked Michael Piercy to secure some of the audio of that exchange from yesterday, because it was an insurrection. It was a coup. It was 7 days in May. The war machine won. The generals disobeyed the orders of the commander-in-chief of the United States military, the President of the United States. Pretty remarkable. And Adam Kinzinger smirked his smarmy little way through it. And it seems to me that I'm about the only one that noticed. There is a piece in the Washington Post on this moment that occurred yesterday. But the Post, of course, is all in favor of it. And they refused to draw down troops from Afghanistan because they said it would be a catastrophe. And then they waited for Joe Biden to order the catastrophic withdrawal of U.S. troops, not using Bagram Air Base and not doing it smartly. So the generals are a disaster, and they launched an insurrection or a coup against President Trump. That was revealed yesterday. I will share that audio with you because some pretty remarkable stuff. The Democrats also announced that, what is it? Is it a subpoena? They're going to continue to harass President Trump, which doesn't come as a surprise, with this third world banana republic, not a legitimate committee, not a hearing. And also, it really wasn't a hearing yesterday. It didn't even fit because they couldn't subpoena the president if it were a hearing. So it had to be a meeting or a circle fest or whatever they call it on Capitol Hill. Remarkable stuff. And of course, you know, keep in mind, the days of riots at the White House, the evacuation of the president and the first family to the bunker, the torching of St. John's Church, the church of the presidents, the more than 150 police injured outside the White House with the Democrats rioting. That's no big deal. Pay no attention to that. No hearings on that. No committee on that. Because Democrats are allowed, and in fact, that riot, series of riots, and the many, many more riots of the Democrats stand as the predicate leading up to normalizing that kind of violence leading up to January 6th. Also, you see, Liz Cheney wants to apparently eliminate January 6th from the calendar. Did you see this? As we're either going to go from January 5th right to January 7th, she wants to make sure January 6th never happens again. So they have that power. We may just do away with that date on the calendar. The Gregorian calendar, you know, changes from time to time. Liz Cheney may change it by eliminating the date, January 6th. Maybe we'll just call it Ashley Babbitt Day. We won't call it January 6th. We'll call it Ashley Babbitt Day. The Democrats in Virginia, they're now threatening to put parents in prison, if you do not affirm your school's decision to transition your daughter's gender or your son's gender without your involvement. The state will come in. They'll take your five-year-old boy, turn your five-year-old boy into your five-year-old girl, and if you're not enthusiastic about it, they will charge you with a felony, which is, of course, imprisonable. So the Democrats are talking about putting parents in prison. They're not just going to beat them up at school board meetings anymore when their daughters are raped by transgender students in the ladies' room, which we've already established as a norm, thanks to the Democrats. But now there is a Democrat in Virginia introduced legislation that you will face child abuse charges that could lead to felony charges and prison for you if you do not go along with the Democrat Party's mental illness of converting your little children's gender when the state says so, while keeping it a secret from the parents. And then when they send your boy home as a girl, if you do not reaffirm that, the Democrats want to arrest you, put you in shackles, throw you in prison, because they're sick in the head. Just saying. Have you seen the Democrats continue to demonize the police, defund the police, accuse the police of being racist? Never mind the 9,900 African-Americans murdered last year. A number much, much greater than the number of African-Americans that died in the entire Vietnam War. Pay no attention to that. But the police are the villains, the police are the bad guys. And the number of police being shot, how many? I'm going to get into the numbers because this year the number of police shot and killed and the number of ambushes, more ambushes this week. And we have alarming numbers. There are alarming numbers of police officers being shot, being murdered, being ambushed, and let's lay the blame where it belongs, and that's at the feet of the Democrat Party with their anti-police rhetoric and on and on and on. I'm telling you. So we've got that for you. Connecticut police officers ambushed, two killed, one wounded, after being deliberately lured to a home 911 call, and amazing stuff. Police officer and police dog shot in Raleigh, North Carolina, yesterday. The police union has finally stepped up, and they are accusing, appropriately, rightly, the Democrat Party, and pointing to their rhetoric, their anti-police rhetoric. So they're a violent criminal enterprise and a terrorist group with suicide attackers all over the country, and rioting from coast to coast and looting and arson and attacks on government facilities, every one of them an insurrection. Christiane Amanpour, you know her. Christiane Amanpour with CNN and PBS. She was on the television talking about how American women need to get into the streets because American women are oppressed like Iranians, which, couldn't be more absurd. Christiane Amanpour is actually of Iranian descent, and she should know better with the repressive regime there actually killing women in the streets. And by the way, women were in the streets just last week, and they were screaming like mental cases about murdering Ashley Babbitt and worms eating her eyes and things like that, because they love the hate. Boy, do they love the hate. They, in order to love the hate, you got to hate the love. And that's today's Democrat Party. Pretty amazing stuff. So once again, gender, Jill Biden, pandering to the Latino vote, and I think doing a very poor job of it. But, we had that great piece of audio from last week where, who was it, CNN or MSDNC was down in Texas, and they're like, gosh, why would you, as a Hispanic, vote for Republicans? And a nice lady summed it up very beautifully. Well, we're for God and the church and faith. We're for family, nuclear family. We're for men and women. We're for hard work. We're patriotic. And the Democratic Party is, of course, anti all of those things. So the Hispanic vote obviously fits like hand in glove with the Republican Party. Now, if the Republican Party could only make a case to save their lives, make a political point, that'd be helpful. Maybe that we should have Kevin McCarthy come out and try to articulate something. What do you think? So we got that going. The price of everything going up and up, and the Washington Post warning us today that the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates again, because that'll fix things. That'll make everything better. Pretty amazing stuff. Secret Service under attack. Secret Service knew of Capitol threat over a week before insurrection. Yeah, so did the Capitol Police. So did the D.C. Police. The Washington Post doesn't remember anything that's even in their own newspapers from a week ago. Pretty amazing stuff. We found out who was spreading stuff about Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago and the documents. Turns out it's his former valet from the White House. It's been revealed in a leak to the Washington Post that I think is a felony, right? Because it's an ongoing investigation. That's the thing. The news media are very concerned for the Democrats because the economy is not going well. They don't care about how that affects you, but they do care about how that affects the Democrats on Election Day, because that's our news media. And a whole lot more. We're at 888-630-9625.
We're for God, country, family, and hard work.
There's only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Joe Biden and his cronies have lost over $3 trillion of American retirement savings in 2022 alone. With inflation running rampant, the stock market plummeting, do you have a plan to protect your wealth? My friends at American Alternative Assets have the wealth protection answer you need. They help you protect your retirement savings by rolling over your IRA or 401k into a gold IRA. With this little-known tool, you can actually hold physical gold and silver in your retirement account while still maintaining its tax-deferred status. Make the smart choice and protect your family's future. Call today and get your free wealth protection guide. This guide will give you all the answers you need. American Alternative Assets is an A-plus and accredited member of the Better Business Bureau. Protect your savings now before it's too late. Call American Alternative Assets at 888, the number 4, gold 20, to secure your free gold and silver guide today. Call now, 888-446-5320. Individual results may vary. There is no guarantee that past performance will be indicative of future results.
What's your least favorite season? Now, if you're like me, it's cold and flu season. So get relief from it this year with Mucinex DM. With cough and chest congestion relief for 12 hours in just one dose, that's three times longer than four-hour products. Mucinex DM makes any season comeback season, even cold and flu season. Get three times the relief in just one dose with Mucinex DM. It couldn't be simpler. Nothing lasts longer among over-the-counter cough and cold remedies. Mucinex DM provides 12 hours of relief for chest congestion and cough, day or night. Use as directed.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE. 844-94-BIBLE.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
If you've been injured in an accident and need cash now before your case settles, Oasis Financial can help. Last month, Oasis helped over 3,000 people. Why not you? If you have an attorney, call Oasis Financial today at 877-266-9107. It takes just 3 minutes to apply. And once you're approved, get $500 to $100,000 of your settlement in as little as 24 hours with no risk to you. That's right. Get $500 to $100,000 within 1 day. If you lose your case, you don't have to pay Oasis back, ever. So call Oasis today to see if you qualify at 877-266-9107. That's 877-266-9107.
Better days start today. Get the cash you need with Oasis.
Call Oasis today at 877-266-9107. Oasis is currently not providing legal funding in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, North Dakota, or West Virginia.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
I've got bad vegan news today. Bad vegan news. You know, Beyond Meat, it's fake meat. I don't know what they make it out of. I don't think anybody knows. It might be soybeans. It could be Soylent Green. No one really knows. But the headline from the Reuters fake news agency, Beyond Meat announces layoffs, comma, cuts revenue forecasts as inflation hits demand. It turns out the stuff Michael tells me is much more expensive than real meat, which doesn't make any sense. But if you're a vegan, you know, whatever. Beyond Meat said Friday, that's today, it would cut 200 jobs and slashed its annual revenue forecast for the second time, citing slowing demand for faux meat as consumers look for more cheaper options to beat rising prices. So they're cutting jobs, and people aren't buying the fake meat like before. But there is a more important story out of Beyond Meat. Here's the headline from Yahoo Finance. Beyond Meat cuts, well, this is the, they're cutting their thing. This is their chief executive is gone. Beyond Meat executive Doug Ramsey leaves company after arrest for allegedly biting man's nose, punching Subaru. He punched a Subaru. He's can't do that. It's a liberal car. Beyond Meat chief operating officer Doug Ramsey, who's been suspended following an arrest for assault, has left the company. Ramsey left the company effective Friday, that's today, weeks after he was arrested for allegedly biting a man's nose following a college football game in Arkansas, the company said in a regulatory finding, a regulatory filing. See, now, wait a minute, isn't he a vegan? And I think a man's nose is meat, isn't it? That's... So he's trying to eat the man's nose. That's reason enough to fire him, since it's a Beyond Meat company. But, you know, vegans. Company originally said they suspended him after his arrest became public, but not before it became public. Beyond Meat. He shouldn't be eating human noses.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hello friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron 1926 Series Number 9. 5 1/4 inches by 56 ring gauge, this is, I will admit, a personal favorite. A Nicaraguan puro, richer, rounder, and more complex experience with flavors of coffee, nuts, and a hint of black cherry. Perfectly balanced with a finish that lasts for days. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street, Blade and Barrel, thank you, Redding Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock the community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendy, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Redding. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Bum, 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 bum. I love this story about the Beyond Meat guy biting the... He bit the guy's nose. What is it if you're a vegetarian or a vegan? Sometimes they have what they call a cheat day. Cheat day. Like, you know, one day a year you can have a hot dog. Maybe this was this guy's cheat day. And it seems to me, I don't know, and nose meat, I would think be a little fatty if this... Dr. Lecter is their CEO here. Is Jeffrey Dahmer, maybe they get Jeffrey Dahmer to come in and be their new CEO. Pretty amazing stuff, yeah. First they suspended him when it became public, which means they Beyond Meat kept it a secret first. There's a picture of the guy here. He looks like he's lived in a penitentiary for a long time. He looks like, it's not quite John Brennan, but he's got something of a penitentiary face. So the Beyond Meat executive, Doug Ramsey, leaves the company after arrest for allegedly biting a man's nose. And the headline is great, CNBC, Punching Subaru. Punching Subaru. That's a kind of a funny headline. It's amazing. In September, he was charged with making terroristic threats and third-degree battery after allegedly assaulting a driver in a parking garage near Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You know, people there are generally pretty nice. They say police said Ramsey punched through the back windshield of a Subaru after it hit the front tire of Ramsey's car. Seems a little stressed out, maybe, what with the declining demand for his product. According to the police report, Ramsey then allegedly punched the Subaru driver and bit his nose, quote, ripping the flesh on the tip of his nose, end quote, the police report said. Police also said, and a victim and a witness also said, that Ramsey told the Subaru driver he would kill him. He'd kill him. He just joined Beyond Meat in December. See, this is, I think you're better off if you just eat real meat, and you probably won't. I used to work with a couple of people. A man and a wife. And the man came into work. I don't want to be too specific. Man came into work, and I saw that his nose was injured. Right? And I walked up, and I looked at it, kind of cocked my head sideways like this to the left, and then I cocked my head sideways to the right. And he rolled his eyes, and he's embarrassed because he knew that I knew. And said, what's up with your nose? And he said, oh, we got a puppy. And I was bending over playing with the puppy, and the puppy latched onto my nose. And I looked at it, and it was, you know, I'm no coroner, but it was clearly human dentition. You could see the perfect formation of the bicuspids on one side of the nose, and it was obviously human teeth that caused that. And I happen to know that his wife was a little erratic, let's just say, a little erratic. And I said, I got to tell you, that is clearly human dentition. I don't think that puppy story is going to fly. Is that what you're telling everybody? And he kind of threw his head back and rolled his eyes and said, yeah, well, and I think he turned and walked away. And I let him off the hook at that point. But clearly it was his wife. I later found out, I got the story later on, I later found out that he was sound asleep, flat on his back and snoring when his wife climbed up on him like a pit bull and latched her teeth onto his nose, perforating the flesh, permanent scars. And, you know what you got to say to that, right? Ah, love. Ah, love. Ain't it, Grant? There it is. So that's what I think of when Mr. Beyond Meat. Kind of ironic, more than a little ironic, Beyond Meat, right? And he's biting a guy's nose off. It didn't come off, but it did perforate the flesh, puncture the flesh, because you know how they are. He's a vegan. He's with Beyond Meat. No sense of irony, these people, am I right? All right, let's go to the telephones. Before we get to the Democrats threatening to put parents in prison if they don't love their transgender 5-year-old that the Democrats are converting at school without sharing any information with the parents, because that's today's Democrat Party. They're suffering from mental illness collectively as a party. And then we'll get to the murdering the police officers, which is another Democrat Party project. And the news media doesn't cover the story because the news media is a vehicle of the Democrat Party, and that means they're anti-police as well. Okay, and the January 6th hearing yesterday, where an actual insurrection, a coup of sorts, was revealed. And I'll share with you all this stupidity. You remember when the Obama, Biden, he sent Biden over to remove all of our troops from Iraq? By the way, see, Baghdad is being shelled today. And, you know, it is the Arab world, after all. All right, let's go to the phones, Michael. Let's go to Matt, calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, happy Friday in Fascistopia, Chris.
Thank you.
So outgoing Wyoming Congresswoman and iconic Civil War leader, Lizard Lincoln Cheney, the Rhino establishment status quo viet, whose ego is even larger than Paul Pelosi's bourbon footprint, she's got a really good reason for her prominent role in this this January 6th swamp impeachment 3.0. And that is that it's her MSN-13 gang initiation. She's trying to prove her fealty to Joe Scarborough Face and Mika Corleone. And she's angling for a primetime show of her own where she can have even fewer viewers than she had Wyoming primary voters.
So, wow, man. Did you write that down, or was that all off the top of your head? That's good stuff.
And, hey, something else I wondered, I got an email. I have three of your shirts. I've got Cobra, Cobra, Cobra. I've got Department of Deep State, and I've got I Survived the Wuhan Red Death.
Uh-huh.
And I got an email from a place called Fabrics and Threads.
Okay.
And it was selling stuff about surviving, you know, COVID-19. But one of the shirts was your exact shirt, your I Survived the Wuhan Red Death. Other than it didn't have your logo on the sleeve, and the logo on the front looked like theirs, not the swag right thing. So I didn't know if you knew that. I don't know if you had it trademarked or anything, but it looks like they stole it from you.
Is that right? What's the website that stole our Wuhan Red Death shirt? What's it called?
I think it was called Fabrics and Threads, or maybe Threads and Fabrics.
Huh. Well,
but yeah, I just got an email from them, and it was one of the shirts they were showing.
I think I'm going to have to hire the law firm of Perkins Coie to sue them. Maybe Mark Elias is available. It worked well for the Clinton campaign. I'm going to have the FBI go after him, probably a battering ram team of 20 guys with rifles and body armor and helmets and ballistic shields, but we just won't call them a SWAT team. We'll go in after them for stealing our stuff. Well, that's great stuff, Matt. You came loaded for bear. And that was great. That was buckshot and very well done. And I'm going to have to go look at Fabrics and Threads stealing our stuff. And I'm glad you have the deep state cobra, cobra, cobra. See, that's great. That's when Joe Biden's walking around naked. The Secret Service code, it's the casual code, is cobra, 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 because Joe Biden walks around naked a lot, which is not something you really want to think about for too long. But and of course, because he goes skinny dipping in the pool and wherever he goes. So the Secret Service came up with a mock code for his walking around naked.
Cobra, cobra, cobra.
And of course, Dr. Jill Biden, who's not a doctor, also is known for walking around naked. And that code is clamshell, clamshell, clamshell. That's the code for that. You know, I know stuff. You stick with me and you'll learn stuff, too. Matt, thank you. That was a great call to start us off on this Friday. What, you hear all that stuff? He should have his own show. And he's already got great T-shirts, the Cobra Cobra, Department of Deep State at the Chris Plant store, chrisplant.com. And, of course, I survived the Wuhan Red Death. Hey, wait, Michael Piercy just stood up and opened his outer shirt. He's wearing a mostly peaceful shirt today, the red, mostly peaceful with the kind of hippie script with the mostly peaceful. That's a great shirt, too. Yeah. And the red ones, that's a good one. Yes, sir. That's my baby. All right. Now, thank you, Matt. Great stuff. Let's go to some of this audio. This is, we're listening to, since you mentioned Liz Cheney, a future former member of Congress, and is she angling for a job at MSDNC, a show on MSDNC? I wouldn't be at all surprised. It's kind of the pattern that has emerged, isn't it? And, you know, you go against the Republican Party, and then the media hires you to be an anti-Republican. She's an anti-Republican Republican, like Adam Kinzinger. But first, let's go, because she apparently wants to erase the date January 6th from the Gregorian calendar, which we use in Western civilization, based on the birth of Christ. I'm surprised the Democrats haven't advocated yet doing away with the Gregorian calendar, because they're anti-everything Western, anti-everything Jesus and God and church, and they're anti-American, as my Iranian friend said last week, and I shared that story with you. Said the Democrats don't like America, said this Iranian immigrant who loves America and our freedoms, because he knows the difference, but he's concerned about the Democrats. So here's Liz Cheney talking about making sure that I guess the calendar has changed and we do away with the date January 6th because Ashley Babbitt was killed that day.
A key element of this committee's responsibility is to propose reforms to prevent January 6th from ever happening again.
We want January 6th to never happen again? So we're just, next year she's proposing we go on the calendar from January 5th to January 7th. It's kind of like a leap day from now on, because we can never relive the date January 6th. I think we should keep the date, but just rename it Ashley Babbitt Day. What do you think? Maybe that would be the way to go. All right, let's go to another anti-Republican Republican. Do I have time to get? I'm not sure I've got time to get to all this, to tell you the truth right now, because this is about the coup, and the Washington Post has a story about it. They're in favor of it. The military leadership of the United States disobeyed the commander-in-chief because they implemented their own policy on troops in Afghanistan and in Somalia. You know that we have troops in Somalia? President Trump actually pulled our troops out of Somalia, but Joe Biden quietly and the generals put them back in, because the generals, they're all going to get jobs with the arms contractors when they hang up their uniform for the last time. And so you got to have troops everywhere. and got to be killing Muslims. Got to play whack-a-mole with those creepy troglodyte Muslims. And you know how the Democrats love killing the Muslims. They bombed the Obama-Biden administration, bombed Muslims in 8 different countries while they were in power. That is a greater number of countries bombed than by any administration since World War II. And during World War II, they had a better excuse, pretty good excuse. What with the Nazis, you know, the National Socialist Workers Party of Adolf Hitler, and, of course, the Empire of Japan. Perhaps you've heard something about that. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Steve calling from Bowie, Maryland. Steve, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Happy Friday, Chris.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve.
Hey, I love your show. I was thinking how the Republicans need to come up with a real good strategy this election cycle to nail the Democrats to their wokeness. And, you know, like I live in Maryland. I see all these political signs on the street that said, vote Democrat. Well, I think we should say vote Democrat or vote, vote for jackasses, you get wokeness, or go vote Democrat, go broke by going woke. Or, you could come up with so many different slogans that nail them to wokeness. And I really think the wokeness of the Democratic Party is splitting the Democratic Party, so we need to emphasize the issues that divide them. And wokeness actually solidifies Republicans, because Republicans, for the most part, reject wokeness. So I think it would be a great strategy.
I think the Republicans should be putting up signs. In fact, I've been hoping to get stickers produced that say, vote Democrat. There are a couple of different ways I want it. More Democrats, more homicides, right? More Democrats, more crime. More Democrats, more carjackings, right? And put those signs up all over the place, because that's true.
True. I think definitely nailing them to, open borders, inflation, all the craziness of, like even this transgenderness, not knowing what a woman is, nailing them to all these issues and woke policies is definitely going to drive normal people to flee, just like Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, yeah, I got another T-shirt we have at the Chris Plant Store is Remember Normal. Remember Normal, because honestly, and wait till you hear. Honestly, Steve, wait till you hear this story that I have on Virginia transgender Democrat, an elected Democrat in Virginia, threatening to put parents in prison on felony charges if you don't think that the school turning your girl into a boy is a good idea. They're threatening to put you in prison now, which is the natural progression of the demented form of fascism that the Democrat Party is rolling up. And their gender dysphoria is really, it's got them by the throat or some vital body part. We're at 888-630-9625. Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
You have trouble getting out of bed in the morning? Does it take you 5 minutes to put on your socks? Are aches and pains from getting older slowing you down? Let me tell you about a CBD product that may help. It's called Gen Pop Muscle and Joint Cream. Created by my friends at Generic CBD, this cream is amazing. It melts into your knees, elbows, shoulders, and back. You won't believe how fast it goes to work. Plus, it might be the best moisturizer you'll ever use. But don't take my word for it. You can try it for free. Just cover the $5 shipping and handling, and genericcbd.com will send you 2 free samples. Keep one for yourself, give one to a friend, or keep them both. Don't worry, it's not a subscription, and it's satisfaction guaranteed. And if you don't get relief, they'll even refund your $5. How's that for a guarantee? Why not give it a try? Get your two free samples at Generic CBD, where you're going to find premium CBD products at generic prices. That's GENERICCBD.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
What's your least favorite season? Now, if you're like me, it's cold and flu season. So get relief from it this year with Mucinex DM. With cough and chest congestion relief for 12 hours in just one dose. That's three times longer than four-hour products. Mucinex DM makes any season comeback season. Even cold and flu season. Get three times the relief in just one dose with Mucinex DM. It couldn't be simpler. Nothing lasts longer among over-the-counter cough and cold remedies. Mucinex DM provides 12 hours of relief for chest congestion and cough. Day or night. Use as directed.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Patrick McGinnis is actually the guy who first coined the phrase fear of missing out. This reminds me of when you're in the supermarket and you're always worried you're going to pick the slowest line, and inevitably you do.
Part of what helps us to overcome that is a sense of gratitude. Those 3 seconds, if you can just use that time to be appreciative of what you have, you will not be focusing on what you don't have.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
All right, let's go back to the fall. I've got a lot of Democrat gender dysphoria now could lead to prison for you if you don't go along. Joe Biden gets, so what is it with the Biden family and tacos? We got another Biden tacos story. Let's go back to the telephones now. Let's go to Jay calling from Laurel, Maryland. You can call me Jay. You're on the Chris Plant Show.
Yeah, I think Biden just the other day revealed that he had a son, another son, who was killed in Iraq. And I think we ought to find out what the name of that son is or was, whether or not he was married, and who the mother was.
Because it turns out you think there is another stray Biden kid out there that we knew, which happens because they don't know how many. And what Jay is talking about is Joe Biden the other day saying this.
I say this as a father of a man who won the Bronze Star, the Conspicuous Service Medal, and lost his life in Iraq.
Mm. Yeah, who that son was, nobody knows, because his son, Bo, did die 5 years after serving as a lawyer in Iraq for a while. But, hey, you know, listen, Jay, Joe Biden doesn't know how many. He's got seven grandchildren. He's got seven. But he doesn't know that. Here's Joe Biden trying to figure out how many grandkids he has.
Uh-oh. I got four kids, five grandkids. Come on. I'm an expert.
He's got five grand. Actually, he has seven. He has seven grandchildren. Dr. Jill Biden, also, she's not a doctor.
My name is Jill, and this is my husband, Joe. And your children may not know, but we have three children, and we have six grandchildren.
So they both got the numbers wrong. This is just their family. And they're in charge of the economy. He's in charge of the economy. He talked about that yesterday. It turns out that the inflation rate of 8.2 is really good. We should score ourselves as lucky. Yeah, but he's got seven grandchildren, and he doesn't know that. Okay? Now, and then she gets a different number on grandchildren than he gets, and they're not very bright people.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.